back, I stopped. I pulled in at Castella.
Mm-hmm.
Where the hell do you watch there? I pulled in right down where you go to Castle Crags one way. And I went to Sims too.
Yeah, Sims, you cross over the railroad track.
There's a campground.
Yeah, and then you. You don't go across the campground.
You don't cross the river.
Right when you pull down, before you cross the tracks, you turn right next to the tracks.
Right.
There's a launch pod right there. There's the bridge. That's where we normally launch from there. And there's a gauge on the bridge about in there, foot-wise. You know, you can tell.
Yeah.
That's a fun run.
There was a truck parked there, and we, you know, it's real low, but then I drove across the bridge into the campground. Wow, man, that'd be a tough launch.
Yes, that's how you normally do it under the bridge. And that's not that great because it gets crowded sometimes. Mostly with the kayakers, though.
And where do you get out?
That's what I'm trying to remember, because if you go all the way down, there's two waterfalls you got to take out above those. I remember when I used to do the whitewater canoeing. I'd have like a quarter mile walk along the railroad track.
Right.
At the shoulder.
Which is right there.
I got to go to a kayak. I got to carry my big canoe and everybody else got little kayaks, you know. But there's a space, I can't remember. I have to look at a map again tomorrow, but there's a spot where you can take out the raft. That's a really fun run.
Yeah. It looked like when the water's updated. I mean,
and
it's real pretty.
The little waterfalls coming in, and the ferns.
Yeah.
You were going to talk about Shasta, especially at the Castella run, you get to view Mount Shasta going down.
But when I pulled in there, I couldn't really see any place to launch there. You went down, and it was the same deal. There was some railroad tracks.
I have to look at a map again on the Castella.
It was like there were some like summer cabins in there, and it looked like it was all private.
Okay, wow. Yeah, I have to look at a map again.
Yeah.
You ready to go?
I know, it's not that hard.
I pulled in right at where you go to Castle Crags if you turned right to go to Castle Crags, which is closed.
Okay, yes. Let's get the show now. Meeting order. Can we have a roll call, please?
Chairperson Paul?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Pugsley?
Here.
Member Graytack?
Present.
Member McCubbin?
Here.
Member Rink?
Here.
Member Scheck? Member Westermeyer?
Present.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. For citizen comments, we have any members of the public who wish to address the Carson River Advisor Committee may come forward and speak on matters related to the committee. Comments may be limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion or action, please request the chairperson, that'd be me, to schedule the matter for a future meeting. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. That said, is there any comments out there? Okay, thank you. We have an item here for action on the minutes, but I didn't see any minutes in my packet. Did
I didn't either.
Yeah, so.
April's full, just a little behind.
Okay, well, we'll take care of it next time. Any? Yeah, two for one, yeah.
You were there, so you know what's in them.
Yeah. All in favor? No, can't do that. We'll take care of it next time. Any modifications, Juan, to the agenda?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the first item, 3A, possible action to receive and forward public testimony in reference to the BLM's resource management plan update process and the city's role as a cooperating agency.
It is my pleasure to introduce Colleen Sievers, sitting next to me. And Colleen is the project manager for the plan update. And we have to thank Daniel Westermeyer, who was the person who contacted her and convinced her to come here. So thank you, Colleen, for coming. Take it away.
I've got copies of the presentation, and there's probably a few extras, too. I printed off 12, so.
Just make sure you turn on your microphone.
Would you like me to go up to the podium, or can I sit here and do it? Okay.
That's okay.
I'd rather sit.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank
you. This is the same presentation that I did to the Carson City Board of Supervisors back at the first part of August, so. If it looks familiar, so that's why.
Tell me when to go.
Go. The Carson City BLM planning area for our resource management plan is about 5 million acres. It covers two field offices, and it does incorporate lands additional to the BLM-managed public lands within our planning area. That is our environmental study area. The resource management plan will only deal with federally managed BLM land in there next. The Carson City area is about, it was just less than 42,000 acres. It's mostly on the east side there. And I know some of it has changed, particularly with the Carson City Lands Bill that has occurred. So this is the most current stuff that we have. Go ahead. Our resource management plan, really, what is it? It's our primary tool where we establish goals and objectives and where we identify lands for certain uses. We close areas for certain uses. We try to minimize resource conflicts, because that's really what we're trying to do, is to allow all the activities to occur, but there are some conflicts, so we're trying to work through that. Who's helping us? We are asking for public input throughout our process. We are working with the Resource Advisory Council. We do have cooperating agencies. We have sent invitations to about 50 different agencies to help us through the process. Other federal agencies, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, as an example, Native American tribes, state agencies such as NDAO, and then all of the counties have been invited to participate. And Carson City has signed a memorandum of understanding so that they'll be at the table as we work through alternatives development and review draft documents. Issues that we're going to be working through cover the whole spectrum, from air and water, vegetation, wild horses, cultural resources, travel and transportation, sage-grouse are going to be in there, grazing, renewable energy development, visual resources, the whole spectrum of things we'll be covering. So what I have asked for from all the counties and some cities and particularly for Carson City is, does the current resource management plan address your needs? Obviously, it didn't, because we have a lands bill that has helped address some of those concerns. But there are still some outstanding issues. So we're trying to figure out what that is. What are the city's needs for the next 15 to 20 years? And how can we work together to meet those goals? Are there areas where we need to change in land tenure? The lands bill took care of quite a bit of those things within Carson City limits, but we still have a 40-acre parcel, for example, on Prison Hill that is listed for disposal, and so that might be something that we want to look at. Are there other lands that we need to be looking at for sale or exchange or to make it, listed for disposal? And it could be, within other counties, too, because we do cover 11 counties in our plan. And are there certain areas that Carson City would like to be used in a certain way? That's kind of one of those real key things that we really need input from Carson City and from all of the counties that we're working with is, how do you want to see those lands, particularly adjacent to a park? Do you want renewable energy adjacent to a housing development, for example? It may not be a good use. So we need that kind of feedback and input. So the next steps, we have finished public scoping. We did 6 scoping meetings back in March, and the scoping period ended in April of 2012. We are compiling a scoping report that will outline all of the comments that we got back from the public, how we can address them in the resource management plan. In October, we will start alternatives development, and alternatives development will take 6-9 months to get through everything. We're hoping for a draft resource management plan and EIS in February or so of 2014, with a final in February of 2015, and a decision about December or so of 2015. So it's going to take us quite a few years to gather the data, come through alternatives, and continue to work through the process. One way that the public can get involved, we do have an email address. And it gets looked at daily. We do have a project website that has all the current information. It has all our scoping maps and all the handouts that we had at scoping. When we get that scoping report, it will be posted on the website. Any announcements that we have, we are tentatively scheduling some travel and transportation workshops in October. All those materials for that workshop will be posted on the website when it's time to allow the public to go in and look through things. So. And then questions. Kind of a quick overview.
I have a question.
Sure.
You said the term listed for disposal regarding Prison Hill. What does disposal mean?
One of the things that BLM works through is we have to identify lands and what their tenure is. We have some lands that are withdrawn for a certain purpose. We have some lands that are closed for certain purposes. And we have some lands that are listed for what is called disposal. Which means if it's listed for disposal, somebody could come in and say, I'm interested in purchasing this piece of land. And they could purchase it. And there's a whole process for how you go about purchasing land. So that's what it means by being available for disposal.
Will there be then some meetings coming up to help identify alternatives or how does that process work exactly?
The alternatives, we spend some time working internally, and in October our first alternatives meeting is just an internal because our first alternative is our no action alternative, what we're currently doing. And BLM needs to be really solid on that. And then we will start trying to outline some of what our issues are, where we're having conflicts, and where we're trying to address certain needs. And we will be taking those to the cooperating agencies and having a cooperating agency meeting to help flesh those alternatives out and what they will be. And it's kind of a back and forth between cooperating agencies and internal, working through it until we get some alternatives spelled out.
Okay. So one is the city is a cooperating agency, correct?
Correct.
So then how do we as advisory committees and open space, and how do we all interact?
We have held Colleen's presentation or something similar to it with the Open Space Advisory Committee as well as with Open Space is coming next Monday, with Carson River Advisory Committee and the Board of Supervisors. We also ask our consultants to prepare some draft comments for us that we discuss with our boards. Prior to submitting them to BLM. As a cooperating agency, we have the ability to discuss issues more intimately. And that was one of the reasons we told the Board of Supervisors that becoming a cooperating agency was the preferred way to go, that it gives us access to the table and to discuss issues with other people. As you can see, The effort is very large because there's many lands, and Carson City sort of becomes a blip inside all this area. So it's really important to hone our comments to be able to figure out what is it that we want to tell BLM and go ahead and produce those comments, because again, the area and the effort is so large that it just tends to get diluted. They deal with big problems, you know, as opposed to relatively small problems. So it's very important for us to do this.
I think it would be very helpful if the advisory committee has concerns or comments or what your thoughts are, to make sure Juan knows what they are and be really specific with those so that he can bring them forward, so that we can keep those things in mind as we work through the alternatives development.
And also, as part of the first package of information that you receive quite a bit more detailed information about the issues that have been discussed that were the result of the first hearings that BLM had. So all of that information is available. And you know what? If, again, this is your opportunity as a committee to do this, you can also do it as an individual. And it could be that weeks from now you think of something that, oh, it will be important for Colleen as the project manager for this effort to know this. So for me to know that, and please feel free to proceed at that time.
But one of the things the BLM identified that they would really like is Carson City to give them one agreed upon request, as opposed to get conflicting things from our committee, from the Board of Supervisors, from parks. I think that then it makes it much harder for BLM to look at what is the alternative that suits Carson City if Carson City doesn't say, this is really, on this issue, travel and transportation, we want designated routes only in our whole area, as opposed to these guys saying they want this, these guys saying they want this, these guys. I think that's what we need to try to do. I can write comments as an individual above and beyond that, but I think as a cooperating agency, I think that that's what that they're hoping that we can do for them, so that it's crystal clear when they make it, they choose an alternative, that they have some backup and support that has consensus.
Sorry about that. That's exactly what we're after, is Carson City to provide us a consolidated package, if you will, so that it is one voice, so that you aren't getting departments with conflicting messages. That, and Juan is our liaison, if you will, and he's the one identified within the cooperating agency MOU that will be sitting at the table with us. So hopefully, if he's getting conflicting messages from different departments or groups or whatever, he is sorting through that prior to coming to the table with us. That's certainly our hope.
Yeah, I think as an advisory committee to the board, it would be our role to discuss it amongst ourselves, come up with some suggestions to the board, and then forward that to the board, and the board would include it in their comments to the BLM.
Yeah, precisely, and to that purpose, I have so given you a draft prepared by RCI, one of our consultants, that initiates some of the subjects that we believe are important to talk to BLM about.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's in our packet? Is that what you're talking
about?
That is
what's in your packet.
So, I mean, is that... Maybe just a clarification, was that then compiled as part of the scoping process, or?
Yes, your comments will be added, and hopefully most of your comments will agree, and those that do not agree will also be noted and transmitted to the next group, which will be the Open Space Advisory Committee, and then to the Board of Supervisors.
I guess what I was having the perception that the next comment phase would be on alternatives, and that's the comments would be limited to alternatives and not going back into the scoping issues.
We won't go back into scoping issues per se, but I think what we have already identified, if you have concerns, they'll probably slide into everything that we've already identified. What's really important is for the city to have any issues or concerns identified as we start through the alternatives development. That's one of the benefits of being a cooperating agency, is that you're at the table. If we didn't cover something through scoping, it's okay. Now's the time to bring it in as a cooperating agency.
So. Yeah, we're catching up.
Yeah,
Ronnie.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is a suggestion. The thing to look at is because the BLM disposing of the land along the river corridor would be, if there is anything left in the city limits, would be, is there any particular need we might have or use that we would want to see on that particular parcel? And then one of the big concerns is going to be access from the city lands to the beyond lands in the watershed. So how is that going to affect the actual Carson River? So we'd be looking at, OHV use, equestrian use, hiking, people having to have trailheads, having to get somewhere, how that may potentially impact the river or the recreational opportunity, I think, would be the one of the things that we would focus on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else have anything you want to share? Looks like you have something, Dan.
It could be that weeks from now you think of something that, oh, it will be important for Colleen as the project manager for this effort to know this. So for me to know that, and please feel free to proceed at that time.
But Juan, one of the things the BLM identified that they would really like is Carson City to give them one agreed upon request, as opposed to get conflicting things from our committee, from the Board of Supervisors, from Parks. I think that then it makes it much harder for BLM to look at what is the alternative that suits Carson City if Carson City doesn't say, this is really, on this issue, travel and transportation, we want designated routes only in our whole area, as opposed to these guys saying they want this, these guys saying they want this, these guys. I think that's what we need to try to do. I can write comments as an individual above and beyond that, but I think as a cooperating agency, I think that that's what that they're hoping that we can do for them, so that it's crystal clear when they make it, they choose an alternative, that they have some backup and support that has consensus.
Sorry about that. That's exactly what we're after, is Carson City to provide us a consolidated package, if you will, so that it is one voice, so that you aren't getting departments with conflicting messages. That Juan is our liaison, if you will, and he's the one identified within the cooperating agency MOU that will be sitting at the table with us. So hopefully, if he's getting conflicting messages from different departments or groups or whatever, he is sorting through that prior to coming to the table with us. That's certainly our hope.
Yeah, I think as advisory committee to the board, it would be our role to discuss it amongst ourselves, come up with some suggestions to the board, and then forward that to the board, and the board would include it in their comments to the BLM.
Yeah, precisely, and to that purpose, I have so given you a draft prepared by RCI, one of our consultants, that initiates some of the subjects that we believe are important to talk to BLM about.
And that's what's in our packet? Is that what you're
talking
about?
That is what's in your packet.
So, I mean, is that... Maybe just a clarification, was that then compiled as part of the scoping process, or?
Yes, your comments will be added, and hopefully most of your comments will agree, and those that do not agree will also be noted and transmitted to the next group, which will be the Open Space Advisory Committee, and then to the Board of Supervisors.
I guess what I was having the perception that the next comment phase would be on alternatives, and that's the comments would be limited to alternatives and not going back into the scoping issues.
We won't go back into scoping issues per se, but I think what we have already identified, if you have concerns, they'll probably slide into everything that we've already identified. What's really important is for the city to have any issues or concerns identified as we start through the alternatives development. That's one of the benefits of being a cooperating agency, is that you're at the table. If we didn't cover something through scoping, it's okay. Now's the time to bring it in as a cooperating agency.
So. Yeah, we're catching up.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Yeah, this is a suggestion thing to look at is because the BLM disposing of the land along the river corridor would be, if there is anything left in the city limits, would be, is there any particular need we might have or use that we would want to see on that particular parcel? And then one of the big concerns is going to be access from the city lands to the beyond lands in the watershed. So how's that going to affect the actual Carson River? So we'd be looking at, OHV use, equestrian use, hiking, people having to have trailheads, having to get somewhere, how that may potentially impact the river or the recreational opportunities, I think, would be the one of the things that we would focus on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else have anything they want to share? Looks like you have something, Dan.
Well, when we got this, BLM specifically under all of these 23 different planning issues had very specific questions, and it acted like we know that these are going to need to be addressed. In looking what Carson City's prepared, you know, I can't find some of these statements cover four or five issues, and some of the sub-issues, you know, a broad general thing is, oh, we want, you know, ecological stability or something in it, as opposed to pointing to the point, you know, we have an outline that doesn't kind of, they're going to have to glean out which particular issue. I mean, yeah, when we talk about fire, that's pretty easy, but some of the other ones are really overlapping, and we didn't specifically answer their question under, you know, the issue for recreation and visitor services. We say, oh, yeah, we like recreation. We support multiple use. But we probably don't want motorized traffic in the river corridor. We don't want access to that. So I'm not sure how we take this document and make it easier for them to identify the specific issue that we have a comment on. You know, when we talk about native plant uses, I think that we need to come to an agreement. Do we want BLM using exotic species and fire rehab or not? Where is it appropriate? Where is it not? That, I think, is the question that they want identified. When we say we want them to use herbicides, well, where do we want them to use herbicides? And because that's going to help them develop their policies, or they come back and say, we already have a policy that covers that. Who represents Carson City in the RAC, Resource Action Council, for the BLM advisory?
Probably that would be NACO, I can think of, and then some of our residents also participate in the RAC, but not officially as Carson City representatives. Mike Drews, for example, has been a member of the RAC. I don't know if he is right now. But NACO and Mike are two that I can think of that consistently has been representing Carson City.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
I think one thing to keep in mind is our land use plan is looking at the BLM managed lands from the 30,000 foot level. Right. It's some of the where can we use this particular herbicide and where can we not is a much more finer level that we're not getting into in our land use plan. What the land use plan in particular to herbicide might say is that within the Carson City District, we may use herbicide A, B, and C, giving these criteria, you know, if you can meet these criteria, but not saying you're going to use it on this township range and section, kind of a thing, detail. So it's a kind of a step up, I think, from some of what your concerns are, you know, for that particular kind of example. Does that help clarify? Another example might be visual resource management, one of Dan's little areas that he works through. Along certain areas, you want to protect the view shed, if you will. So you're going to want to look at what criteria or what that classification might be and what the impacts might be allowed to keep that classification. You're not going to want a wind farm next to the river where the view shed might be impacted adversely. So again, we're trying to look at that 30,000 foot level.
How we are general, Dan, and so far our draft comments are about 14 pages long, and that's being general. So if there's something that you believe that needs to be addressed more specifically, bring it up. This is your chance.
I think one other thing that I have offered to other agencies is BLM is happy to have one-on-one discussions. When we get into cooperating agency meetings and you have 24 people, they are all representing their own interest. The focus is going to be very specific on what our goal and objective is for that meeting. We won't get into the fine detail of what each individual's specific concern might be, just because of time. So BLM is happy to meet more on a one-on-one, let's throw maps out on a table and talk about issues. And that way it kind of gets them out and we can be thinking about them, even if we may not.
When we got this BLM specifically under all of these 23 different planning issues, had very specific questions that it acted like we know that these are going to need to be addressed. In looking what Carson City's prepared, you know, I can't find some of these statements cover four or five issues, and some of the sub-issues, you know, a broad general thing is, oh, we want, you know, ecological stability or something in it, as opposed to pointing to the point, you know, we have an outline that doesn't kind of, they're going to have to glean out which particular issue. When we talk about fire, that's pretty easy, but some of the other ones are really overlapping, and we didn't specifically answer their question under, you know, the issue for recreation and visitor services. We say, oh, yeah, we like recreation. We support multiple use. But we probably don't want motorized traffic in the river corridor. We don't want access to that. So I'm not sure how we take this document and make it easier for them to identify the specific issue that we have a comment on. You know, when we talk about native plant uses, I think that we need to come to an agreement. Do we want BLM using exotic species and fire rehab or not? Where is it appropriate? Where is it not? That, I think, is the question that they want identified. When we say we want them to use herbicides, well, where do we want them to use herbicides? And because that's going to help them develop their policies, or they come back and say, we already have a policy that covers that. Who represents Carson City in the RAC, Resource Action Council for the BLM advisory?
Probably that would be NACO, I can think of, and then some of our residents also participate in the RAC, but not officially as Carson City representatives. Mike Drews, for example, has been a member of the RAC. I don't know if he is right now. But NACO and Mike are two that I can think of that consistently has been representing Carson City.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
I think one thing to keep in mind is our land use plan is looking at the BLM managed lands from the 30,000 foot level. Right. It's some of the where can we use this particular herbicide and where can we not is a much more finer level that we're not getting into in our land use plan. What the land use plan in particular to herbicide might say is that within the Carson City District, we may use herbicide A, B, and C, giving these criteria, you know, if you can meet these criteria, but not saying you're going to use it on this township range and section kind of a thing, detail. So it's a kind of a step up, I think, from some of what your concerns are, you know, for that particular kind of example. Does that help clarify? Another example might be visual resource management, one of Dan's little areas that he works through. Along certain areas, you want to protect the view shed, if you will. So you're going to want to look at what criteria or what that classification might be and what the impacts might be allowed to keep that classification. You're not going to want a wind farm next to the river where the view shed might be impacted adversely. So again, we're trying to look at that 30,000 foot level.
How we are general, Dan, and so far our draft comments are about 14 pages long, and that's being general. So if there's something that you believe that needs to be addressed more specifically, bring it up. This is your chance.
I think one other thing that I have offered to other agencies is BLM is happy to have one-on-one discussions. When we get into cooperating agency meetings and you have 24 people, they are all representing their own interest. The focus is going to be very specific on what our goal and objective is for that meeting. We won't get into the fine detail of what each individual's specific concern might be, just because of time. So BLM is happy to meet more on a one-on-one, let's throw maps out on a table and talk about issues. And that way it kind of gets them out and we can be thinking about them, even if we may not talk about them at that exact meeting date when we have all of our cooperators together. Might be more useful.
Some general comments. So I believe that immediately in the River Corridor, meaning the floodplain, that BLM doesn't administer any real estate within Carson City with that characteristic. It's either open space or private or state Department of Prisons. So that right away, you know, resolves one of the concerns. But then, like Dan mentioned, the trailheads and the circulation pattern of recreation vehicles, ATVs, as well as just regular pickups, just mobility, regular trucks, regular cars from our trailheads into the BLM areas and from the BLM areas exiting back into Carson City. That deserves a comment, you know, that is something. Like Dan mentioned, the area of fuels mitigation is probably one of the most important concerns that we have along the WUIs, along where there's development. Another area that will be really important, our lands bill already protects most of the hills up to Sun Canyon, which is somewhere around here, more or less. And that is the first ridge, the first tall ridge that you can see from town. And the topography is such that you see the peaks that are further down, but not a whole bunch further down because the topography doesn't allow you to do that. So I don't think that energy concerns will be, you know, that important for us, because that land is not suitable for that, and the lands bill already, again, give us that degree of protection. The comment of going back to designated use of roads and trails, that would be a very important comment to make. And our lands bill also works in that direction with some of the provisions. The other area that will be probably very important and pertinent, and that this plan will have some relevance to the things we are doing, relate also to the general policy about exploitation of minerals and what kinds of activities can happen on BLM lands versus Carson City lands. And again, if you have in mind that this is going to be Carson City and this piece is going to be Carson City and pretty much the boundary is going to be around there, which is the river. The area that is designated within the lands bill, or there's an area already designated with the lands bill, generally, again, towards Sand Canyon, that prevents those activities from happening, but not further east of them. So if there were to be, I don't know, discovery of some kind of mineral or some kind of, it doesn't have to be a hard mineral. It can be something like
sand.
Like sand, yeah. I was going to say cat litter material, which caused so much controversy in Washoe County. So the same thing, you know, what routes are going to be used to get that material of BLM. Those are the kind of general things that we have sense to talk about in this plan. And of course, the more you're related to the river, which is your mission, the better off we are.
One of the concerns, and it was actually brought up this morning with some staff, was shooting, recreational shooting.
Yeah.
And having trails going right behind where people are shooting and there's no backstop.
Right.
That's obviously a concern. Dumping, illegal dumping. We may not be able to take care of illegal dumping within our resource management plan, but it's certainly something we can talk about and try to, you know, if it's happening in certain locations, maybe roads are not appropriate in that area to limit the traffic, or maybe we need to put uses in place or outline, you know, where you can shoot and where you can't shoot, as an example.
So So Juan, are these, you mentioned 14 pages or something of city comments. This is only 8 or something. Are we missing something?
No, you're not. I missed
about them at that exact meeting date when we have all of our cooperators together. Might be more useful.
Some general comments. So I believe that immediately in the River Corridor, meaning the floodplain, that BLM doesn't administer any real estate within Carson City with that characteristic. It's either open space or private or state Department of Prisons. So that right away, you know, resolves one of the concerns. But then, like Dan mentioned, the trailheads and the circulation pattern of recreation vehicles, ATVs, as well as just regular pickups, just mobility, regular trucks, regular cars from our trailheads into the BLM areas and from the BLM areas exiting back into Carson City. That deserves a comment, you know, that is something. Like Dan mentioned, the area of fuels mitigation is probably one of the most important concerns that we have along the WUIs, along where there's development. Another area that will be really important, our lands bill already protects most of the hills up to San Canyon, which is somewhere around here, more or less. And that is the first ridge, the first tall ridge that you can see from town. And the topography is such that you see the peaks that are further down, but not a whole bunch further down because the topography doesn't allow you to do that. So I don't think that energy concerns mm-hmm. will be, you know, that important for us, because that land is not suitable for that, and the lands bill already, again, give us that degree of protection. The comment of going back to designated use of roads and trails, that would be a very important comment to make. And our lands bill also works in that direction with some of the provisions. The other area that will be probably very important and pertinent, and that this plan will have some relevance to the things we are doing, relate also to the general policy about exploitation of minerals and what kinds of activities can happen on BLM lands versus Carson City lands. And again, if you have in mind that this is going to be Carson City and this piece is going to be Carson City and pretty much the boundary is going to be around there, which is the river. The area that is designated within the lands bill, or there's an area already designated with the lands bill, generally, again, towards San Canyon, that prevents those activities from happening, but not further east of them. So if there were to be, I don't know, discovery of some kind of mineral or some kind of, it doesn't have to be a hard mineral. It can be something like like sand, yeah. I was going to say cat litter material, which caused so much controversy in Washoe County. So the same thing, you know, what routes are going to be used to get that material of BLM. Those are the kind of general things that we have sense to talk about in this plan. And of course, the more you relate it to the river, which is your mission, the better off we are.
One of the concerns, and it was actually brought up this morning with some staff, was shooting, recreational shooting.
Yeah.
And having trails going right behind where people are shooting and there's no backstop.
Right.
That's obviously a concern. Dumping, illegal dumping. We may not be able to take care of illegal dumping within our resource management plan, but it's certainly something we can talk about and try to, you know, if it's happening in certain locations, maybe roads are not appropriate in that area to limit the traffic, or maybe we need to put uses in place or outline, you know, where you can shoot and where you can't shoot, as an example. So
So Juan, are these, you mentioned 14 pages or something of city comments. This is only 8 or something. What, are we missing something?
No, you're not. I missed by 6.
Oh, okay. Okay. Just making sure.
All right.
Didn't know if maybe there was another version out there.
No. Yeah, and okay. The land tenure, too.
Yeah.
Like Paul mentioned, you know, there are minutes, too. But really, the main core is the letter that that is being drafted. The main core of comments. Regarding shooting, we have a specific regulations about shooting, and in general, they specific regulations about what the Carson City Municipal Code designate as the river corridor from the Deer Run Road Bridge to McTarnahan Bridge Abutment, and it calls for not shooting within 5,000 feet, you know, of that. That area. So we need to make sure that BLM understand that that is our regulation presently. And then there are other regulations within a place of public resort, whatever that means. I keep saying that our lands are a place of public resort. The ordinance was drafted way back when, and that's what it says. It says that you cannot shoot again within 5,000 feet of a place of public resort. So I've been telling our lawyers, oh yeah, you see these open space lands? That is a place of public resort, and you cannot shoot within 5,000 feet of those areas. But we know that one of our main concerns is the shooting that take place within the former Serpa property along the wall, and how we have been trying to work on that, you know, systematically. Anyhow, if you look at what we provided you on land tenure, there are two specific parcels. One is an area of just around 50 acres that when we transpose maps from GIS systems into the lands bill was left out. And it's part of Silver Saddle Ranch on the east side of the river. And you have been included in the transfer of lands and it hasn't been accounted for. And the other one is the 40 acres that BLM held back just around there on Kuntz for the purpose of doing the hotshot barrack, and then that facility was moved, and BLM doesn't want an isolated 40-acre piece of land in here, and all of these being Carson City. You know, there's no reason for them to manage that type of property. So now is the time again to mention to BLM that we would like that designated to be able to, for us to acquire at some point in the future, or to be transferred.
A mini landsville.
Yeah, a mini landsville, a correction landsville.
So, what's next? Do we continue to provide comment to your comments that go off to BLM, or?
I think what is next is if you have any comments about the draft, now this is the opportunity to bring them up. Is there something there that makes you comfortable, uncomfortable, or is something that, like Dan mentioned, he would like more detail on?
You really want to go through it issue by issue, or can I just, you know, can we just do this as a comment to you, Juan, and then work it out that way? Rather than, you know, the board, I don't know if we want to do that.
You sure can do that. Then you will be trusting my. I'll accept all your comments and I will transmit them forward. I will just agree or disagree with some of them because in the end I'm going to be the one, unless Roger wants to do it, telling the board supervisors what our recommendation is.
Right, and you know, so all this would be is reading it into the public record so that later on I can rant, which I don't know if that does anybody any good. Because again, yeah, you know, and that's it. Somebody has to synthesize this stuff so that we don't leave it up to BLM to make that. We want to be very clear when we present it to those guys.
Sure.
Because I think there are strong issues that even though they may think it's micromanaging, they're that important to us that we want to make sure that they get it for our part.
Absolutely. Anything else? Have any other comments? Dan, in your dual role?
I guess the big question to me is, kind of Dan's getting at, is how do we proceed at this point?
Okay. Just making sure. Didn't know if maybe there was another version out there.
No. Yeah, and the land tenure, too. Yeah. Like Paul mentioned, you know, there are minutes, too. But really, the main core is the letter that that is being drafted, the main core of comments. Regarding shooting, we have a specific regulations about shooting, and in general, they specific regulations about what the Carson City Municipal Code designate as the river corridor from the Deer Run Road Bridge to McTarnahan Bridge Abutment. And it calls for not shooting within 5,000 feet, you know, of that area. So we need to make sure that BLM understand that that is our regulation presently. And then there are other regulations within a place of public resort, whatever that means. I keep saying that our lands are a place of public resort. The ordinance was drafted way back when, and that's what it says. It says that you cannot shoot again within 5,000 feet of a place of public resort. So I've been telling our lawyers, oh, yeah, you see these open space lands? That is a place of public resort, and you cannot shoot within 5,000 feet of those areas. But we know that one of our main concerns is the shooting that take place within the former Serpa property along the wall, and how we have been trying to work on that, you know, systematically. Anyhow, if you look at what we provided you on land tenure, there are two specific parcels. One is an area of just around 50 acres that when we transpose maps from GIS systems into the lands bill was left out. And it's part of Silver Saddle Ranch on the east side of the river. And you have been included in the transfer of lands and it hasn't been accounted for. And the other one is the 40 acres that BLM held back just around there on Kuntz for the purpose of doing the hotshot barrack, and then that facility was moved, and BLM doesn't want an isolated 40-acre piece of land in here, and all of these being Carson City. You know, there's no reason for them to manage that type of property. So now is the time again to mention to BLM that we would like that designated to be able to, for us to acquire at some point in the future, or to be transferred.
A mini landsville.
Yeah, a mini landsville, a correction landsville.
So what's next? Do we continue to provide comment to your comments that go off to BLM, or?
I think what is next is if you have any comments about the draft, now this is the opportunity to bring them up. Is there something there that makes you comfortable, uncomfortable, or is something that, like Dan mentioned, he would like more detail on?
You really want to go through it issue by issue, or can I just, you know, can we just do this as a comment to you, Juan, and then work it out that way? Rather than, you know, the board, I don't know if we want to do that.
You sure can do that. Then you will be trusting my. I'll accept all your comments and I will transmit them forward. I will just agree or disagree with some of them because in the end I'm going to be the one, unless Roger wants to do it, telling the board supervisors what our recommendation is.
Right, and you know, so all this would be is reading it into the public record so that later on I can rant, which I don't know if that does anybody any good. Because again, yeah, you know, and that's it. Somebody has to synthesize this stuff so that we don't leave it up to BLM to make that. We want to be very clear when we present it to those guys.
Sure.
Because I think there are strong issues that even though they may think it's micromanaging, they're that important to us that we want to make sure that they get it for our part.
Absolutely. Anything else? Have any other comments, Dan, in your dual role?
I guess the big question to me is, kind of Dan's getting at, is how do we proceed at this point? Do you know when the board is planning on providing comments to the BLM?
Well, we bring them to them, and we hope to bring them to them sooner than later, because Colleen has been very patient with us.
Okay, so reviewing stuff and coming back at our next meeting in 2 months is too long.
Yes.
Okay. Then at this point, I don't know if we would be best reviewing it and providing comments to Randy as the chairman, and then he can compile them and forward them to Juan. Or if we need to have a little, I don't know, do you guys ever have a little sub-meeting as a committee to sit down and discuss this and do it as a group activity?
No, you can't.
You can't do it without noticing that.
I don't know, with notice, though. I don't know if that's something that is worthwhile, where you feel it's worth sitting down and really discussing.
A three-member subgroup? Well, Randy and I have been talking under the cheek here a little bit, but the perception is the scope of this committee to respond to the city's opening position, if you will, or position at this point in time, is really related to item number four, water-based recreation. The scope of this committee beyond that is pretty limited through most of this. We might like to make a comment, for example, that if you're going to use pesticides and weed control management, that certain pesticides shouldn't be used in the river corridor. So you might make that sort of comment in that particular section. You might want to make a comment relative to wild horses in the river corridor. But as Juan's pointed out, the BLM isn't managing the river corridor. So other than comments related to the desire of the city to have the river as a recreational resource, as outlined in number four, I'm not sure that this committee's scope is much broader than that simple paragraph. Certainly doesn't limit all of our thoughts as individuals in any stretch, manner, or form. And fortunately, as a participant here, we get perhaps more access than most. But my suggestion is that the committee might consider that particular paragraph and move on whether we think that particular paragraph is an adequate explanation to this concern that's been identified, and then inquire if there's any other concerns relative to the river that we want to address in this planning process.
I can see several points that I know that may not have been addressed very well, and one of those, as Colleen pointed out, is the view shed. So I think that is important from the river looking out, because that could be the BLM lands that we're looking off in the distance, but the person that's recreating on the river is going to see that. So I think one of our concerns would be the view shed from the river, and that's something where, you know, somebody can make a map and show that, say, what would somebody see in the distance as they float down the river, and see if any BLM lands are within there. And that's something we can make comments saying, well, you know, maybe we want to have some view shed concerns from the river if you're going to do any type of development. The other one would be access. So there's a lot of roads out there. A lot of roads probably are duplicated, but people are using multiple roads to get to certain areas on BLM land. They're having to cross the city watershed to get up to those BLM lands. And it may be we could look at that and say, you know, maybe instead of having three or four roads, we only need one road for people to do that, which will reduce the amount of erosion coming down into the river. So that would be the second one I think would be important, would be taking a look at what's happening on BLM land adjacent to the city-owned land just outside of the river corridor, and again targeting that area and saying, is there something in here we don't like to see, whether it'd be a recreation type of area, you know, recreational shooting, there could be firewood cutting, and we want to say, do we want someone driving through the city property to go over to a designated firewood cutting area where someone's got chainsaws stuck in their truck and they're going to see something on the city land, go, oh, I'm going to take that tree and it may not be something we want them to take down in the city land. So that would be something on the adjacent land that we'd be kind of concerned about, I would say. So those would be, I think, my concern is activities adjacent. When the board is planning on providing comments to the BLM?
Well, we bring them to them, and we hope to bring them to them sooner than later, because Colleen has been very patient with us.
Okay, and so reviewing stuff and coming back at our next meeting in 2 months is too long?
Yes.
Okay. Then at this point, I don't know if we would be best reviewing it, providing comments to Randy as the chairman, and then he can compile them and forward them to Juan. Or if we sure. need to have a little, I don't know, do you guys ever have a little sub-meeting as a committee to sit down and discuss this and do it as a group activity?
No, you can't.
You can't do it without noticing
it. I don't know, with notice, though. I don't know if that's something that is worthwhile, where you feel it's worth sitting down and really discussing.
A three-member subgroup? well, Randy and I have been talking under the cheek here a little bit, but the perception is the scope of this committee to respond to the city's opening position, if you will, or position at this point in time, is really related to item number 4, water-based recreation. The scope of this committee beyond that is pretty limited through most of this. We might like to make a comment, for example, that if you're going to use pesticides and weed control management, that certain pesticides shouldn't be used in the river corridor. So you might make that sort of comment in that particular section. You might want to make a comment relative to wild horses in the river corridor. But as Juan's pointed out, the BLM isn't managing the river corridor. So other than comments related to the desire of the city to have the river as a recreational resource, as outlined in number 4, I'm not sure that this committee's scope of is much broader than that simple paragraph. Certainly doesn't limit all of our thoughts as individuals in any stretch, manner, or form. But, and fortunately, as a participant here, we get perhaps more access than most, but that my suggestion is that the committee might consider that particular paragraph and move on whether we think that particular paragraph is an adequate explanation to this concern that's been identified, and then inquire if there's any other concerns relative to the river that we want to address in this planning process.
I can see several points that I know that may not have been addressed very well, and one of those, as Colleen pointed out, is the view shed. So I think that is important from the river looking out, because that could be the BLM lands that we're looking off in the distance, but the person that's recreating on the river is going to see that. So I think one of our concerns would be the view shed from the river, and that's something where, you know, somebody can make a map and show that, say what would somebody see in the distance as they float down the river, and see if any BLM lands are within there, and that's something we can make comments saying, well, you know, maybe we want to have some view shed concerns from the river if you're going to do any type of development. The other one would be access. So there's a lot of roads out there. A lot of roads probably are duplicated, but people are using multiple roads to get to certain areas on BLM land. They're having to cross the city watershed to get up to those BLM lands. And it may be we could look at that and say, you know, maybe instead of having 3 or 4 roads, we only need 1 road for people to do that, which will reduce the amount of erosion coming down into the river. So that would be the second one I think would be important, would be taking a look at what's happening on BLM land adjacent to the city-owned land just outside of the river corridor. And again, targeting that area and saying, is there something in here we don't like to see, whether it'd be a recreation type of area, you know, recreational shooting. There could be firewood cutting. And we want to say, do we want someone driving through the city property to go over to a designated firewood cutting area? where someone's got a chainsaw stuck in their truck and they're going to see something on the city land, go, oh, I'm going to take that tree. And it may not be something we want them to take down in the city land. So that would be something on the adjacent land that we'd be kind of concerned about, I would say. So those would be, I think my concern is activities adjacent to the interface between the Carson City and for us, like it says, to be the river shed line, the view shed, and then access, so on roads, whether it be the OHV, you know, bicycles, horses, or whatever. So take a look at, you know, is there a lot of duplicity in the amount of roads out there, or are people accessing the BLM land having to cross the Carson City land in the review shed that we need to have some sort of management on, or there's an issue because of the amount of use or the type of use or something like that?
For the sake of time, maybe maybe what we need to do is have people submit comments. I mean, if you have other things you want to share for possible discussion later on, maybe we submit them to Juan, and then if they warrant discussion, bring them back to the committee. I don't feel like we're getting anywhere. We're just kind of
flailing around
here a little bit.
Yeah, that would that would work, and I can also review them with Randy, with the chairman, and I don't have to. Or you can select somebody else for me to review comments, you know, if you want.
Well, I could do that with you, and yeah, we could decide if they look controversial or something. We may feel like we need to bring them back. And
just remember, we want to go to open space next week, and then after that, to the board of supervisors right away.
So,
and also, I mean, it seems to me that, and this is my fault for not giving you adequate background, but a whole bunch of the concerns that I have heard already are somewhat addressed by the lands bill. So what is important is to reiterate to BLM that we believe in the lands bill.
So what kind of time frame do you think we need to have in order to?
I think it should be a week. It should be within a week.
Okay.
So comments go directly to one?
Sure.
Or to you?
Both of us.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Sure.
Yeah. Roger has a...
Well, I have a comment. I guess maybe basically a question for Colleen and Juan. I think you're kind of proceeding in the logical way to proceed with this. My concern would be if you collect individual comments from each one of you individually and then funnel them through Randy and to Juan, I'm not sure that it would be wise to take those comments to the board as saying this is a comments from your organization, because you really haven't had a chance to really talk about them and maybe make a decision which ones you want to forward onto the board. So if you do it that way, and I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that, and Colleen mentioned that this is your opportunity to make individual comments as well, I think in that case you'd want to really kind of couch those into as being individual specific comments from board members and not an official, you know, dialogue from this committee to the board. Does that make sense to you?
I think that's a good point. The only thing, Roger, for me is that then we wouldn't be making a recommendation as the committee to
that's
the
correct.
Board. Would it be possible for us to provide all our own comments to Randy, and then if they're compiled and then sent back out to everybody, and if everybody agrees, they can put yes, 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 no, and then we've got a consensus on some of that?
Well, no, then we're violating open meeting law.
That would
so,
be? Okay.
Yeah, so... You know, I don't think it diminishes really necessarily the comments. I mean, you know, you folks have been assembled to be on this advisory, you know, council for lots of reasons, and one of it is because of your experience and your expertise, you know, in this area. So, but I think it would be understanding that these are more individual type comments rather than, you know, a Carson River Advisory Council's collective thoughts.
I do have one thing that might help is that alternative development is going to take us 6-9 months. We're not going to get everything done by the end of the calendar year. So if you were to share comments amongst yourselves, bring it back in 2 months when you meet again, and then forward it.
The interface between the Carson City, and for us, like it says, to be the river shed line, the view shed, and then access, so on roads, whether it be the OHV, you know, bicycles, horses, or whatever. So take a look at, you know, is there a lot of duplicity in the amount of roads out there, or are people accessing the BLM land having to cross the Carson City land in the review shed that we need to have some sort of management on, or there's an issue because of the amount of use or the type of use or something like that?
For the sake of time, maybe maybe what we need to do is have people submit comments. I mean, if you have other things you want to share for possible discussion later on, maybe we submit them to Juan, and then if they warrant discussion, bring them back to the committee. I don't feel like we're getting anywhere. We're just kind of
talking about it
a little bit.
Yeah, that would. It does automatically. That would work, and I can also review them with Randy, with the chairman, and I don't have to. Or you can select somebody else for me to review comments, you know, if you want.
Well, I could do that with you, and yeah. We could decide if they look controversial or something. Maybe feel like we need to bring them back. And
just remember, we want to go to open space next week, and then after that, to the board of supervisors right away.
So,
and also, it seems to me that, and this is my fault for not giving you adequate background, but a whole bunch of the concerns that I have heard already are somewhat addressed by the lands bill. So what is important is to reiterate to BLM that we believe in the lands bill.
So what kind of time frame do you think we need to have in order to?
I think it should be a week. It should be within a week.
Okay.
So comments go directly to one?
Sure.
Or to you?
Both of us.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Sure.
Yeah. Roger has a...
Well, I have a comment. I guess maybe basically a question for Colleen and Juan. I think you're kind of proceeding in the logical way to proceed with this. My concern would be if you collect individual comments from each one of you individually and then funnel them through Randy into Juan, I'm not sure that it would be wise to take those comments to the board as saying this is a comments from your organization, because you really haven't had a chance to really talk about them and maybe make a decision which ones you want to forward on to the board. So if you do it that way, and I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that, and Colleen mentioned that this is your opportunity to make individual comments as well, I think in that case you'd want to really kind of couch those into as being individual specific comments from board members and not an official, you know, dialogue from this committee to the board. Does that make sense to you?
I think that's a good point. The only thing, Roger, for me is that then we wouldn't be making a recommendation as the committee to
that's
the
correct.
Board. Would it be possible for us to provide all our own comments to Randy, and then if they're compiled and then sent back out to everybody, and if everybody agrees, they can put yes, 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 no, and then we've got a consensus on some of that?
Well, no, then we're violating open meeting law.
That would be?
So,
okay.
Yeah, so... You know, I don't think it diminishes really necessarily the comments. I mean, you know, you folks have been assembled to be on this advisory, you know, council for lots of reasons, and one of it is because of your experience and your expertise, you know, in this area. So, but I think it would be understanding that these are more individual type comments rather than, you know, a Carson River Advisory Council's collective thoughts.
I do have one thing that might help is that alternative development is going to take us 6-9 months. We're not going to get everything done by the end of the calendar year. So if you were to share comments amongst yourselves, bring it back in 2 months when you meet again, and then forward it, there's still an opportunity to incorporate those comments and those concerns into our process.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Do we, if we needed something before the for the Board of Supervisors to forward to the BLM? Or
I believe you do. What Colleen is saying, though, is she's opening the windows to make sure that whatever your concerns are, you know, they get transmitted. So what I was thinking is that we have in November when we meet next, I can bring you the whatever the Board of Supervisors did. At least you can review that, and then you have the ability to do more or do less, you know, to recommend.
I think
these to the board.
You mean? Yeah, I think that'd be a more productive discussion of the issues if we had them, our board, our committees, people's issues identified up front. We had time to think about them, look at them.
So we're going to do it that
way.
Because
obviously we're not getting any of these issues that to the detail may be needed right now. But
so can we make an input in letter one, letter two?
So
BLM will take input.
I'd like to make a motion.
Hey, before you make a motion, I wanted to ask Colleen, let's see, if I remember correctly, El Dorado Canyon, there's some private land, but there's also quite a bit of public land. And Lyon County is not too interested in having a whole bunch of regulation on El Dorado Canyon. And I think El Dorado Canyon is exceptional. It's just an incredible resource. It's not treated as any specific special area, as far as I know. It's just one more area you manage. But I think it may deserve more specific regulations. But that's only me. You know, the board will probably shoot me. Do you guys know El Dorado at all?
El Dorado Canyon?
Is that in your county, Washington?
Half of it is.
Oh, it is. The upper part.
Yeah, you know, because it has riparian areas.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, and it's habitat, and yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Great formations. Great recreation resource at the same time, too.
Yeah. Anyhow, so I believe our esteemed vice chair was going to make a motion.
Okay.
I would like to make the motion that the committee bring back for discussion some alternatives to be incorporated in paragraph 4 about water-based recreation to include comments relative to access to and from the river crossing BLM land or providing access to BLM land, to provide a little broader perspective, if you will, in the water-based recreation paragraph, and that the committee consider essentially focusing on a new paragraph to address the viewshed issues that we've raised, specifically as that views may occur from the Carson River. And that's my motion.
Are you sure, before I ask for a second, just maybe clarification, are you sure you want to limit it to that? I mean, there may be things that do spill over that people may have that come off that could possibly be in our jurisdiction. I don't know.
And they can be included in the future. It doesn't exclude those. What I'm suggesting in the motion is that this is what we will focus on to provide guidance to the city relative to these issues.
Isn't it, that seems to make sense, those two issues, the view and the access, because really the city owns most of the river corridor now that we deal with.
So the BLM, it isn't like BLM land is coming right up to the edge of the waterway itself. So, you know, I see where you're coming from on that, it would be, and like Dan said, it would be more of what you see from the river looking out.
Still an opportunity to incorporate those comments and those concerns into our process.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Do we, if we needed something before the for the Board of Supervisors to forward to the BLM? Or
I believe you do. What Colleen is saying, though, is she's opening the windows to make sure that whatever your concerns are, you know, to get transmitted. So what I was thinking is that we have in November when we meet next, I can bring you the whatever the Board of Supervisors did. At least you can review that, and then you have the ability to do more or do less, you know, to recommend
add
these to the board.
Yeah, I think that'd be a more productive discussion of the issues if we had them, our board, our committees, people's issues identified up front. We had time to think about them, look at them.
So we can do it that way.
Obviously, we're not getting any of these issues that into detail may be needed right now. But
so can we make an input in letter one, letter two?
So would
BLM will take input.
I'd like to make a motion.
Hey, before you make a motion, I wanted to ask Colleen, let's see, if I remember correctly, El Dorado Canyon, there's some private land, but there's also quite a bit of public land. And Lyon County is not too interested in having a whole bunch of regulation on El Dorado Canyon. And I think El Dorado Canyon is exceptional. It's just an incredible resource. It's not treated as any specific special area, as far as I know. It's just one more area that you manage. But I think it may deserve more specific regulations. But that's only me. You know, the board will probably shoot me. Do you guys know El Dorado at all?
El Dorado Canyon?
Is that in your county watch?
Half of it is.
Oh, it is. The upper part.
Yeah, you know, because it has riparian areas.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, and it's habitat, and yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Great formations. Great recreation resource at the same time, too.
Yeah. Anyhow, so I believe our esteemed vice chair was going to make a motion.
Okay.
I would like to make the motion that the committee bring back for discussion some alternatives to be incorporated in paragraph 4 about water-based recreation to include comments relative to access to and from the river crossing BLM land or providing access to BLM land, to provide a little broader perspective, if you will, in the water-based recreation paragraph, and that the committee consider essentially focusing on a new paragraph to address the viewshed issues that we've raised, specifically as that views may occur from the Carson River. And that's my motion.
Are you sure, before I ask for a second, just maybe clarification, are you sure you want to limit it to that? I mean, there may be things that do spill over that people may have that come up that could possibly be in our jurisdiction. I don't know.
And they can be included in the future. It doesn't exclude those. What I'm suggesting in the motion is that this is what we will focus on to provide guidance to the city relative to these issues.
Isn't it, that seems to make sense, those two issues, the view and the access, because really the city owns most of the river corridor now that we deal with. Mm-hmm.
So the BLM, it isn't like BLM land is coming right up to the edge of the waterway itself. So, you know, I see where you're coming from on that, it would be, and like Dan said, it would be more of what you see from the river looking out, and access issues would be the main thing. Otherwise, we'd just be dealing with the city for any of the other issues along the corridor, because it's owned by the city. The corridor is, most of it.
I guess my concern is, I'm sorry to belabor this, but there's activities that are going on in, on lands adjacent to ours, that's BLM, that have spillover. You know, there's weed issues, there's wild horse issues. I mean, they come down to the river. You know, I just don't think you can just draw this black line, bright line in the sand and say, this is where you need to limit it. I agree that's our focus, but I'm just suggesting that maybe we open it up a little broader to possibly other things that some people, myself not included, have comments on.
Okay, my motion fails for lack of a second.
Well, I don't know. Does somebody want to make a second on his motion? Oh, I was just...
Can you say it again?
If you could broaden the scope of it just a little bit, so that there are a couple issues that I see in here that is kind of unique to my environment that the city really doesn't connect to. I'm a little different, and I am surrounded by BLM land,
right,
and I'm directly impacted, and there's a couple families out there that are, and I think there is some of the same issues that I have also on the north side of the river, or west side of the river, whichever you want to call it, from where you're standing, that they have some issues too, I believe, that are connected to the impact from the BLM land coming into the city land.
So are those issues broader than access?
I think there's access. I think there's a little fire prevention in my personal area. We have fire issues with BLM land because we are adjacent to it.
I appreciate that, but then is that within the definition of what we as an advisory committee relative to the river should be responding to? There are a huge number of issues relative to this whole plan,
right,
that I have a whole lot of interest in commenting on. But what I am trying to do is to focus the committee to where are the comments that the commission or the supervisors should be looking for from us relative to the river, which is our purview.
I think there was one issue in here, if I recall, about water sources for fire prevention or fire suppression in here. If they're planning on using the river as a source for that, I think that involves us.
That would.
I think that's in there. There is a few areas that the BLM land comes right down to the river. And if there's a fire in some of those areas, that's going to impact that river. I think there should be a little bit of concern about prevention in those areas, and I don't think there is very much. It's a small area, but there is some.
Yeah, I think also along that same line, one thing we haven't really discussed would be you have the watershed for the river.
Sorry, went back off. One thing that, in addition to what Ernie's talking about, I mean, Mark is talking about, along that same line is you have the Carson River, but you've got all the small tributaries that come in. So activities that may be occurring up on BLM land and those tributaries that may be causing erosion. So if activities that promote potential for fire and in those little watersheds then feed into the Carson River and degrade the water quality, or if people are out there, you know, recreating in some way, so it's degrading the water because they're riding or driving through the creeks and that feeds directly into the river, we're talking a water quality issue there. So that kind of broadens the area that we'd be looking at also, I think, a little bit.
I've tried. To provide a little bit of history there, when we have attempted to, this committee has attempted to address issues beyond the corridor itself of the river, the supervisors have asked us not to. So from that perspective, I want to bring that perspective in as well. And it's in part why I'm...
And access issues would be the main thing. Otherwise, we'd just be dealing with the city for any of the other issues along the corridor, because it's owned by the city. The corridor is, most of it.
I guess my concern is, I'm sorry to belabor this, but there's activities that are going on in, on lands adjacent to ours, that's BLM, that have spillover. You know, there's weed issues, there's wild horse issues. I mean, they come down to the river. I just don't think you can just draw this black line, bright line in the sand and say, this is where you need to limit it. I agree that's our focus, but I'm just suggesting that maybe we open it up a little broader to possibly other things that some people, myself not included, might have comments on.
Okay, my motion fails for lack of a second.
Well, I don't know. Does somebody want to make a second on his motion? Oh, I was just...
Can you say it again?
If you could broaden the scope of it just a little bit, so that there are a couple issues that I see in here that is kind of unique to my environment that the city really doesn't connect to. I'm a little different, and I am surrounded by BLM land,
right,
and I'm directly impacted, and there's a couple families out there that are, and I think there is some of the same issues that I have also on the north side of the river or west side of the river, whichever you want to call it from where you're standing, that they have some issues too, I believe, that are connected to the impact from the BLM land coming into the city land.
So are those issues broader than access?
I think there's access, I think there's a little fire prevention in my personal area. We have fire issues with BLM land because we are adjacent to it.
I appreciate that, but then is that within the definition of what we as an advisory committee relative to the river should be responding to? There are a huge number of issues relative to this whole plan,
right,
that I have a whole lot of interest in commenting on. But what I am trying to do is to focus the committee to where are the comments that the commission or the supervisors should be looking for from us relative to the river, which is our purview.
I think there was one issue in here, if I recall, about water sources for fire prevention or fire suppression in here. If they're planning on using the river as a source for that, I think that involves us.
That would.
I think that's in there. There is a few areas that the BLM land comes right down to the river. And if there's a fire in some of those areas, that's going to impact that river. I think there should be a little bit of concern about prevention in those areas, and I don't think there is very much. It's a small area, but there is some.
Yeah, I think also along that same line, one thing we haven't really discussed would be you have the watershed for the river.
Sorry, went back off. One thing that, in addition to what Ernie's talking about, I mean, Mark is talking about, along that same line is you have the Carson River, but you've got all the small tributaries that come in. So activities that may be occurring up on BLM land and those tributaries that may be causing erosion. So if activities that promote potential for fire and in those little watersheds then feed into the Carson River and degrade the water quality, or if people are out there, you know, recreating in some way, so it's degrading the water because they're riding or driving through the creeks and that feeds directly into the river, we're talking a water quality issue there. So that kind of broadens the area that we'd be looking at also, I think, a little bit.
I've tried. To provide a little bit of history there, when we have attempted to, this committee has attempted to address issues beyond the corridor itself of the river, the supervisors have asked us not to. So from that perspective, I want to bring that perspective in as well. And it's in part why I'm attempting to provide a little bit of focus of what the supervisors are looking for from this group, and in part what its expectations would be from this group. But they have specifically asked us to stick to the corridor, and they're not real pleased with the water quality emphasis, frankly. I mean, I pushed myself very hard in that direction, and I feel like I've sort of pushed right up to the limits of where the supervisors are seeking counsel from the advisory committee. So within that scope, I want to bring the committee back to where do we want to focus in providing comment to this plan. I would argue on fire fuels management that the areas that would impact the river corridor relative to fire fuels management are small, and that the fire fuels management portion of this particular plan has much larger areas that it needs to focus on in the plan itself. So whatever input we might provide there, I think, is going to get lost in the priorities of that whole space and its fire fuels management.
If I could make a comment.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that we're preaching to the choir. We all have our own little niches of what's important to us, and we just need to get it, instead of verbalizing it, getting that on paper so that it can make the channels within the week, so then we could proceed on to either act as a committee / individuals to make things happen.
I was just going to offer a little bit of a suggestion for a compromise. Maybe you can consider. What you might do is you could possibly have your recommendations be in two part, because Paul's exactly right. When we've brought concerns about the river in a larger, even a watershed type of concept to the board, they have pretty much have said, not exactly his words, please stick to the river, you know, and whether we agree with that or not, that's the direction we've been given by the board. But maybe what you could do is you could, you know, because recognize that the whole thing is an environment, an ecosystem, everything is related somehow and affects and impacts some of the whole parts. What you might do is maybe have a recommendation that is primarily specific to your purview, which is a river, and then say, however, here are some secondary concerns that we also have. And then the board can really make a decision whether they want to consider those secondary issues that you have, you know, along with the primary issues of the river, you know, impacts to the river. So you maybe take a two-layered approach to this. Primarily what you think affects the river, secondary what you think is a concern of this, and comments from this council.
Thank you for that, Roger. And yeah, I want to apologize here a little bit for getting us off track, because Paul's right. We've tried to take this bigger picture on occasion and it hasn't worked out for us. But I think that might be a good option, is to take what Paul was suggesting we do, but then maybe open it up for some secondary comments. But I'm willing to go forward with his motion as it stands also. I'm sure we'll get valuable input to the board that way.
I have some of it, Mr. Chairman, if that helps. If you'd rather repeat it, that's fine also.
Well, let me repeat it, because I withdrew the one I made, so I'll make a new one. Because it has no second. But that the committee consider providing, my motion is that the committee focus on providing comments to the cooperating entity with BLM of the city, particularly focusing on water-based recreation and adding comments relative to access to the river through BLM to the river and from the river into BLM properties, attempting to provide a little bit of focus of what the supervisors are looking for from this group and in part what its expectations would be from this group. But they have specifically asked us to stick to the corridor, and they're not real pleased with the water quality emphasis, frankly. I mean, I pushed myself very hard in that direction, and I feel like I've sort of pushed right up to the limits of where the supervisors are seeking counsel from the advisory committee. So within that scope, I want to bring the committee back to where do we want to focus in providing comment to this plan. I would argue on fire fuels management that the areas that would impact the river corridor relative to fire fuels management are small, and that the fire fuels management portion of this particular plan has much larger areas that it needs to focus on in the plan itself. So whatever input we might provide there, I think is going to get lost in the priorities of that whole space and its fire fuels management.
If I could make a comment.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that we're preaching to the choir. We all have our own little niches of what's important to us, and we just need to get it, instead of verbalizing it, getting that on paper so that it can make the channels within the week, so then we could proceed on to either act as a committee / individuals to make things happen.
I was just going to offer a little bit of a suggestion for a compromise. Maybe you can consider. What you might do is you could possibly have your recommendations be in two part, because Paul's exactly right. When we've brought concerns about the river in a larger, even a watershed type of concept to the board, they have pretty much have said, not exactly his words, please stick to the river, you know, and whether we agree with that or not, that's the direction we've been given by the board. But maybe what you could do is you could, you know, because recognize that the whole thing is an environment, an ecosystem, everything is related somehow and affects and impacts some of the whole parts. What you might do is maybe have a recommendation that is primarily specific to your purview, which is a river. And then say, however, here are some secondary concerns that we also have. And then the board can really make a decision whether they want to consider those secondary issues that you have, you know, along with the primary issues of the river, you know, impacts to the river. So you maybe take a two-layered approach to this. Primarily what you think affects the river, secondary what you think is a concern of this, and comments from this council.
Thank you for that, Roger. And yeah, I want to apologize here a little bit for getting us off track, because Paul's right. We've tried to take this bigger picture on occasion and it hasn't worked out for us. But I think that might be a good option, is to take what Paul was suggesting we do, but then maybe open it up for some secondary comments. Or But I'm willing to go forward with his motion as it stands also. I'm sure we'll get valuable input to the board that way.
I have some of it, Mr. Chairman, if that helps. If you'd rather repeat it, that's fine also.
Well, let me repeat it, because I withdrew the one I made, so I'll make a new one. Because it has no second. But that the committee consider providing, my motion is that the committee focus on providing comments to the cooperating entity with BLM of the city, particularly focusing on water-based recreation and adding comments relative to access to the river through BLM to the river and from the river into BLM properties, as well as adding a new comment focusing on view shed issues, specifically as they relate to views from the river.
That sounds good. We have a second.
Hang on. And we would like to add that it by no means limits other comments.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Any public comment? How do we do this again? Public comment now? Any public comment? Seeing none? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Like, for the record, like to show that I've had abstained.
Motion passes. Thanks, Colleen. Sorry, that was a little painful. What's that? Oh, yeah? Okay. I'm waiting. Okay, let's move on to item 3B, possible action to discuss and select a preferred strategy for a repair of Anderson Diversion, north of Lloyd's Bridge, east of Buzzy's Ranch. So we have Juan and Paul on teed up for that.
So let me make the introductions here, if I may. The Carson Valley Conservation District has received funding to try to take a look at a broad range of possibilities of what we might do with an issue that has multiple names. I call it the Lloyd Diversion. Juan, and I'm going to introduce Lynn Zong with Resource Concepts, who's been working with me in trying to develop this conceptual plan, and I'm going to ask Lynn to make a presentation here momentarily. But what we're presenting to the committee today are some thoughts on what we might do relative to the rock structure that is just below the Lloyd Bridge in the river that has caused a fairly significant blowout in River Right Bank. And we've taken a look at it, and we have some thoughts, and we want to give the committee the knowledge that we have at this particular point in time and ask for the committee to scope our further action, to put it in some planning terms. Lynn, thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Well, Paul and I spent a morning along the river, the section of the river, measuring it, photographing it, and brainstorming. So if you go to the next one, that's an aerial view 2011 of the dam. So obviously it was high water, and you can see the water going going around the so you can see the, well, we'll look at this a little more, but this is the blowout right here.
Right. Point out where the bridge is, Lynn.
The bridge is way down here. But we'll get more. There's more maps. We'll go on here. So this is just the project area. You guys all know where it is. Go on. And then this is a view from the bridge looking at the dam. So there's this is a slot in the dam where the water goes through, and it's flush with the floor of the river, the bed of the river. And then the blowout is right, you can't see it, it's behind these bushes, it's behind here, and then it comes back that way. But so next. So we went and we looked at the dam. So a couple points about it. The dam was compromised at that big flow we had 2005, 2006, the New Year's Eve flood, which was like a 25-year event? What was that? 10 to 25-year event.
Yeah.
they say. So, and it blew out around the side of it. This section of the river is extremely, extremely flat. There's not much gradient there at all. It's sandy bottom, upstream a little more than a quarter mile, and downstream about a quarter mile, you start getting into some.
I was adding a new comment focusing on view shed issues, specifically as they relate to views from the river.
That sounds good. We have a second.
Hang on. And we would like to add that it by no means limits other comments.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Any public comment? How do we do this again? Public comment now? Yeah. Any public comment? Seeing none? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Like, for the record, like to show that I've had abstained.
Motion passes. Thanks, Colleen. Sorry, that was a little painful. What's that? Oh, yeah? Okay. I'm waiting. Yeah. We'll move on to item 3B, possible action to discuss and select a preferred strategy for a repair of Anderson Diversion, north of Lloyd's Bridge, east of Buzzy's Ranch. So we have Juan and Paul on teed up for that.
So let me make the introductions here, if I may. The Carson Valley Conservation District has received funding to try to take a look at a broad range of possibilities of what we might do with an issue that has multiple names. I call it the Lloyd Diversion. Juan, and I'm going to introduce Lynn Zong with Resource Concepts, who's been working with me in trying to develop this conceptual plan, and I'm going to ask Lynn to make a presentation here momentarily. But what we're presenting to the committee today are some thoughts on what we might do relative to the rock structure that is just below the Lloyd Bridge in the river that has caused a fairly significant blowout in River Right Bank. And we've taken a look at it, and we have some thoughts, and we want to give the committee the knowledge that we have at this particular point in time and ask for the committee to scope our further action, to put it in some planning terms. Lynn, thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Well, Paul and I spent a morning along the river, the section of the river, measuring it, photographing it, and brainstorming. So if you go to the next one, that's an aerial view 2011 of the dam. So obviously it was high water, and you can see the water going going around the so you can see the, well, we'll look at this a little more, but this is the blowout right here.
Right. Point out where the bridge is, Lynn.
The bridge is way down here. But we'll get more. There's more maps. We'll go on here. So this is just the project area. You guys all know where it is. Go on. And then this is a view from the bridge looking at the dam. So this is a slot in the dam where the water goes through, and it's flush with the floor of the river, the bed of the river. And then the blowout is right, you can't see it, it's behind these bushes, it's behind here, and then it comes back that way. But so next. So we went and we looked at the dam. So a couple points about it. The dam was compromised at that big flow we had 2005, 2006, the New Year's Eve flood, which was like a Was that a 25-year event? What was that? 10 to 25-year event, they say. So, and it blew out around the side of it. This section of the river is extremely, extremely flat. There's not much gradient there at all. It's sandy bottom. Upstream, a little more than a quarter mile, and downstream, about a quarter mile, you start getting into some cobble. But right in this vicinity, it's just very sandy, both upstream and downstream. So this is an aerial view, 2003, before it was compromised. So you can see that is the area that got blown out. And then the next slide shows what we previously saw. That's the water going around the edge, 2011. Well, yeah, blew out 05, 06, but anyway, this is an aerial photo from 2011. So next one. So we went and we measured the gradient of the river upstream and downstream. We looked at it relative to the that vertical eroding riverbank about a quarter mile or half mile downstream of the bridge to see if it could have any impact on that, and we pretty much decided that it didn't.
Can you stop there for a minute?
Okay.
Colleen. Linson, I want to make sure that that point doesn't get unnoticed, and that is she's referring to further that way. There's a half moon bay that has been formed by the river. The river is eroding into what used to be the Gerard property that now is your land, our lands. And the fence that used to keep the cows away from the river was hanging out in the air by about, 30 feet, maybe 40 feet away from the new shore, which is indented into the farmland. So what she said is that they studied this structure in relation to that event, and they don't see a clear connection, which makes me feel very good.
Yeah. We pretty much decided walking it from the dam, that it was too far downstream, and there are too many river bends between the dam and that area to really make a connection between the two. So I think it's more related to something else. So this is a view upstream, looking downstream of that opening in the riverbank, and that gap is roughly upstream gap. We think it's about between 20 and 30 feet wide. Well, because the actual riverbank is further. It's just out of the picture, the actual riverbank is here, and it would go straight that way. So pretty wide gap. You could boat it, except there's a river, there's a log kind of hanging out there that could be a bit of a problem for you if you're going that way. So next. So we're out there brainstorming. We measured the rock. We basically divided the river into two halves, the left side and the right side. And we measured the height and width and length of those. We measured the width of the gap. And I know I'm going really fast on this, but our conceptual idea for this is simply to take the rock from the dam and fill create the riverbank again using the large rock. There's some really wonderful huge boulders that is in the dam that once we placed, I think would be really good. And really that part of the riverbank, once you take out the dam, you're not gonna have big pressures on it because it's a pretty straight stretch of the river. We were thinking, really you just kind of have to nudge the river back into the middle. And if we did some good rock placement there to kind of keep the river there, then when we do have high flows, you're going to get sediment, it's going to be a backwater area, like an oxbow. It's kind of like an oxbow concept. The backwater areas will, catch the water, and then as it recedes, you'll get the fines deposited back in there, and you'll get the vegetation back in. Just a real simple, easy, straight-ahead fix for it that you could do at low water with a really good operator. basically. So this was just very conceptual, you know, very quick, easy, straight ahead calculations for how much rock was available, how much rock would be needed. You know, it could all just be done right there. So, next. Here's my spreadsheet for the calculations of it. So as you can see, we calculate cobble, but right in this vicinity, it's just very sandy, both upstream and downstream. So this is an aerial view, 2003, before it was compromised. So you can see that is the area that got blown out. And then the next slide shows the what we previously saw. That's the water going around the edge, 2011. Well, yeah. Blew out 05, 06, but anyway, this is an aerial photo from 2011. So next one. So we went and we measured the gradient of the river upstream and downstream. We looked at it relative to the that vertical eroding riverbank about a quarter mile or half mile downstream of the bridge to see if it could have any impact on that, and we pretty much decided that it didn't. Okay.
They could, Colleen. Linson, I want to make sure that that point doesn't get unnoticed, and that is she's referring to further that way. There's a half moon bay that has been formed by the river. The river is eroding into the what used to be the Gerard property that now is your land, our lands. And the fence that used to keep the cows away from the river was hanging out in the air by about, 30 feet, maybe 40 feet away from the new shore, which is indented into the farmland. So what she said is that they studied this structure in relation to that event, and they don't see a clear connection, which is makes me feel very good.
Yeah, we pretty much decided walking it from the dam that it was too far downstream and there are too many river bends between the dam and that area to really make a connection between the two. So I think it's more related to something else. So this is a view upstream looking downstream of that opening in the riverbank, and that gap is. That gap is roughly upstream gap. We think it's about between 20 and 30 feet wide. Well, because the actual riverbank is just out of the picture, like right, you know, the actual riverbank is here, and it would go straight that way. So pretty wide gap. You could boat it, except there's a log kind of hanging out there that could be bit of a problem for you if you're going that way. So next. So we're out there brainstorming. We measured the rock. You know, we basically divided the river into two halves, the left side and the right side. And we measured the height and width and length of those. We measured the width of the gap. And I know I'm going really fast on this, but our conceptual idea for this is simply to take the rock from the dam and fill the, create the riverbank again using the large rock. There's some really wonderful huge boulders that is in the dam that once we placed, I think would be really good. And you know, really that part of the riverbank, once you take out the dam, you're not going to have big pressures on it because it's a pretty straight stretch of the river. And, you know, we were thinking, really you just kind of have to nudge the river back into the middle. And if we did some good rock placement there to kind of keep the river there, then when we do have high flows, you're going to get sediment. You know, it's going to be a backwater area like an oxbow. It's kind of like an oxbow concept. The backwater areas will catch the water, and then as it recedes, you'll get the fines deposited back in there, and you'll get the vegetation back in. Just a real simple, easy, straight-ahead fix for it that you could do at low water with a really good operator. basically. So this was just very conceptual, you know, very quick, easy, straight ahead calculations for how much rock was available, how much rock would be needed. You know, it could all just be done right there. So, next. Here's my spreadsheet for the calculations of it. So as you can see, we calculate there's about 723 cubic yards of boulders available for use, and they're only need, if we just did, you know, if we just blocked the mouth and the exit of it, we only need about 300 cubic yards. So you'd have more to spare if you wanted to fill in the hole a little bit more. So, and then next. So this is looking at the, so we had a picture of Paul standing with the tape measure at the top end of the blowout. This is the bottom end of the blowout, and so the dam is right here. The dam is right here. So this is where the water came back in. And so this is just showing the concept where we would taper the rocks that we put here. We would taper it down to match the bed and bank of the existing river, so that eventually it would fill in back here. But you put it high at the dam and then down lower, because you're not going to have a lot of forces down here. It's going to be, and you want water to go back in there as a back eddy and deposit silt and sand and rock entering the high flows. So just a simple concept of it. And then I think that's the last one. Oh, so here's an aerial view from 2011. So you can see the river bank in this area is really, you know, it goes pretty straight and then it takes a bend. So if you just kind of take a straight line across there, you can see, you know, here's the blowout right here where the water's going around. We would just place rocks across here, and we'd place, you know, rocks tapering down across there. And we'd use rocks here, and we'd use rocks here. There's a big cottonwood tree on the dam right there that kind of marks where I think the riverbank used to be. And so we would just, so we're not actually even taking out the whole of the east dam. It would just be taking it up to the point of that big cottonwood tree and then using the rocks in these areas. Very simple, straight ahead concept. And I think that maybe that it must be the end. Yeah, that is the end. So this right, that's the secret one. So this right there, that's the raw riverbank that Juan was talking about. It's way down there eating into that. So, and we're right here. So, and we measured the longitudinal profile of the river all the way down to, I think, right in here, the end of this. And, you know, they actually, in this bend right here is actually where you start picking up a little gravel and cobble. But we're like, there's no way. So that's it. Oh, I guess I should. Do you want to talk about the water rights, Paul? Okay.
So one of the concerns here, for a little bit of history, the rock diversion structure appears to have been built in the 1800s. I was surprised. The 1980 ruling for the Alpine Decree shows that the water rights would be pumped. So somewhere prior to that, that structure was built. The water right dates into the 1850s. It was originally taken in a diversion upstream, quite some distance, ditched down the right-hand side of the river, bridged at where the road bridge is today, and irrigates the fields that are near the river on the west side, 55 acres. This is not a big water right, but it is water right. Excuse me. So the spoke with the landowner, specifically the landowner's legal representative, and he's pleased to have us do whatever we would like to do with this structure. However, he would like to have a new point of diversion for those 55 acres worth of water rights. He's pleased if that point of diversion would be the Mexican Ditch. Mexican Ditch has the capacity, has a little bit of difficulty in actually delivering that water from the ditch to those specific fields, but that could be resolved. But it protects his water rights, and it gives him a legal manner, if you will, or a registered manner of extracting those water rights from the river. I have spoken.
There's about 723 cubic yards of boulders available for use, and their only need, if we just did, you know, if we just blocked the mouth and the exit of it, we only need about 300 cubic yards. So you'd have more to spare if you wanted to fill in the hole a little bit more. So, and then next. So this is looking at the, so we had a picture of Paul standing with the tape measure at the top end of the blowout. This is the bottom end of the blowout, and so the dam is right here. The dam is right here. So this is where the water came back in. And so this is just showing the concept where we would taper the rocks that we put here. We would taper it down to match the bed and bank of the existing river so that eventually the it would fill in back here. But you put it high at the dam and then down low. Because you're not going to have a lot of forces down here. It's going to be, and you want water to go back in there as a back eddy and deposit silt and sand and rock during the high flows. So just a simple concept of it. And then I think that's the last one. Oh, so here's an aerial view from 2011. So you can see the river bank in this area is really, you know, it goes pretty straight and then it takes a bend. So if you just kind of take a straight line across there, you can see, you know, here's the blowout right here where the water's going around. We would just place rocks across here, and we'd place, you know, rocks tapering down across there. And we'd use rocks here, and we'd use rocks here. There's a big cottonwood tree on the dam right there that kind of marks where I think the riverbank used to be. And so we would just, so we're not actually even taking out the whole of the east dam. It would just be taking it up to the point of that big cottonwood tree and then using the rocks in these areas. Very simple, straight ahead concept. And I think that maybe that it must be the end. Yeah, that is the end. So this right, that's the secret one. So this right there, that's the raw riverbank that Juan was talking about. It's way down there, eating into that. So, and we're right here. So we measured the longitudinal profile of the river all the way down to, I think right in here, the end of this. And, you know, they actually, in this bend right here is actually where you start picking up a little gravel and cobble. But we're like, there's no way. So that's it. Oh, I guess I should. Do you want to talk about the water rights, Paul? Okay.
So one of the concerns here, for a little bit of history, the rock diversion structure appears to have been built in the 1800s. I was surprised. The 1980 ruling for the Alpine Decree shows that the water rights would be pumped. So somewhere prior to that, that structure was built. The water right dates into the 1850s. It was originally taken in a diversion upstream, quite some distance, ditched down the right-hand side of the river, bridged at where the road bridge is today, and irrigates the fields that are near the river on the west side, 55 acres. This is not a big water right, but it is water right. Excuse me. So spoke with the landowner, specifically the landowner's legal representative, and he's pleased to have us do whatever we would like to do with this structure. However, he would like to have a new point of diversion for those 55 acres worth of water rights. He's pleased if that point of diversion would be the Mexican Ditch. Mexican Ditch has the capacity. has a little bit of difficulty in actually delivering that water from the ditch to those specific fields, but that could be resolved. But it protects his water rights, and it gives him a legal manner, if you will, or a registered manner of extracting those water rights from the river. I have spoken, actually Lynn has spoken with Bruce and Bruce Scott with Resource Concepts, who does a lot of water rights work. And Bruce is hopeful that we'd be able to move those to those water rights, point of diversion, to the Mexican Dam as an administrative matter. That makes it a whole lot simpler. If it has to be an application, we have two tribes on the river that object to applications to do anything relative to water on the river just per force, and that just lengthens the process. We go around it about. Really, I think the engineer here would rule that there was no legitimate purpose for objecting to this particular move. It's within the same segment of the river. It's, you know, water would continue to be used in the same location. It's just a little bit different method of delivery. Pretty straightforward. But in any event, that would have to be resolved before we could do anything. The surprise to me that Lynn and I discovered there is that when you look at this photo, you would think there was a significant grade change occurring at that structure. There is zero grade change occurring at that structure. I mean, literally none, which surprised me a lot. And I'm sure that's why they did. Exactly. The reason that it blew out in a 25-year event in 2005 or 6 instead of the 70-plus-year event that occurred in 1997 is that this structure probably was mostly lost in 97 and rebuilt in 2000. So the structure we're dealing with today is in fact a structure that was rebuilt from earlier structures, was rebuilt in 2000. And because they used really big rock, there was no give. And so when the river needed a little extra space, it took it on the right bank. I want the committee to consider things such as, if we're going to deal with this diversion, we're probably putting a piece of equipment in the river. Once that piece of equipment's in the river, is there other things we would like to try to do, particularly relative to floating down the river, because it is part of the aquatic trail that this committee's had a substantial influence on. And, you know, before we proceed to simply move some rock around and create a wall on the right side and let the river do itself, whatever it'd like from there, would like comment from the committee if they'd like to have us consider anything else.
I would. I walked it a couple of weeks ago myself, and there was a lot of debris and big rocks under the bridge itself. So I think if we had a piece of equipment in there, for safety's sake, that we would push rock away, and so that if a person floating or doing river rafting stayed in the middle, that they'd have a nice sweepy coming around that bend under the bridge. And then they'd be right at the approach of where the island and the tree and all of that is going.
Okay. Anything else? Moving some extra rock is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Okay. Couple of things. So you're saying it goes to 55 acres right there on the south side of River Road?
It's where the arrow is.
Okay.
In north.
So how has he been irrigating that, since I know that pump hasn't worked since probably 2000?
He has not.
Yeah.
He's not irrigating the 55 acres that I'm referring to.
It's been in litigation, hasn't it?
No.
Trying to sell it?
No.
No?
Isn't there alfalfa on it?
Most of that 55 acres has things that we would prefer work there at all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Will they be joining the ditch company?
They are members of the ditch company.
They are.
So this would add to the ranch's perspective of their share of costs in the ditch company. And they probably didn't consider that when they asked us to move the rights there.
So the water rights that they get out of the ditch, I think that the state engineer would look at, you know, it is the most expeditious.
Actually, Lynn has spoken with Bruce and Bruce Scott with Resource Concepts, who does a lot of water rights work. And Bruce is hopeful that we'd be able to move those to those water rights, point of diversion, to the Mexican dam as an administrative matter. That makes it a whole lot simpler. If it has to be an application, we have two tribes on the river that object to applications to do anything relative to water on the river just per force, and that just lengthens the process. We go around it about. Really, I think the engineer here would rule that there was no legitimate purpose for objecting to this particular move. It's within the same segment of the river. It's, you know, water would continue to be used in the same location. It's just a little bit different method of delivery. Pretty straightforward. But in any event, that would have to be resolved before we could do anything. The surprise to me that Lynn and I discovered there is that when you look at this photo, you would think there was a significant grade change occurring at that structure. There is zero grade change occurring at that structure. I mean, literally none, which surprised me a lot. And I'm sure that's why they did. Exactly. The reason that it blew out in a 25-year event in 2005 or 6 instead of the 70-plus-year event that occurred in 1997 is that this structure probably was mostly lost in 97 and rebuilt in 2000. So the structure we're dealing with today is in fact a structure that was rebuilt from earlier structures, was rebuilt in 2000. And because they used really big rock, there was no give. And so when the river needed a little extra space, it took it on the right bank. I want the committee to consider things such as, if we're going to deal with this diversion, we're probably putting a piece of equipment in the river. Once that piece of equipment's in the river, is there other things we would like to try to do, particularly relative to floating down the river, because it is part of the aquatic trail that this committee's had a substantial influence on. And, you know, before we proceed to simply move some rock around and create a wall on the right side and let the river do itself, whatever it'd like from there, would like comment from the committee if they'd like to have us consider anything else.
I would. I walked it a couple of weeks ago myself, and there was a lot of debris and big rocks under the bridge itself. So I think if we had a piece of equipment in there, for safety's sake, that we would push rock away, and so that if a person floating or doing river rafting stayed in the middle, that they'd have a nice sweepy coming around that bend under the bridge. And then they'd be right at the approach of where the island and the tree and all of that is going.
Okay. Anything else? Moving some extra rock is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Okay. Couple of things. So you're saying it goes to 55 acres right there on the south side of River Road?
It's where the arrow is.
Okay.
In north.
So how has he been irrigating that, since I know that pump hasn't worked since probably 2000?
He has not.
Yeah.
He's not irrigating the 55 acres that I'm referring to.
It's been in litigation, hasn't it?
No.
Trying to sell it?
No.
Isn't there alfalfa?
Most of that 55 acres has things that we would prefer weren't there at all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Will they be joining the ditch company?
They are members of the ditch company.
They are.
So this would add to the ranch's perspective of their share of costs in the ditch company. And they probably didn't consider that when they asked us to move the rights there.
So the water rights that they get out of the ditch, I think that the state engineer would look at, you know, it is the most expeditious transfer. It's worth it.
It's pretty straightforward.
You know. But if they haven't been pulling that water right, so what obligation does the owner of that dam have? Can you abandon a rock structure in the river? What is the Army Corps concerns with those kind of things? Does any of that have to be addressed? Can he just walk away and say, hey, you know, that's my point of diversion, but I'm not using that water. Or he hasn't been using that water, has he? So would we get 55 or potential used out water on the ranch until that's transferred? Is he going to give us that opportunity?
No. The water is his, continues to be his. To actually use the point of diversion at the Mexican Dam as an alternative to pumping, he has to put it to beneficial use. Otherwise, he leaves it in the river. I would anticipate that this 55 acres worth of water generally is going to be left in the river because he's not using it to irrigate. But the Alpine Decree suggests that leaving water in the river is a permitted use. So he doesn't lose his water right. His concern is, if I do find a way to put that water to beneficial use, I need a point of diversion to do that, and I don't want you to take the one away that I've got unless I have an alternative. That's effectively what he's asking. He's agreeable to using the Mexican Dam. It's pretty straightforward. It stays in the segment. I'm not changing the point of use as compared to point of diversion. And, you know, it's simple. So I'd like to keep it that way. The actual impact to the river, i.e. water drawn from the river or added to the river, I don't expect to see it change. Because, again, it's not by means of changing the point of diversion doesn't put that ground automatically back into use.
I agree with the premise of the project. The one concern I have, as so often happens, is the expenditures of public funding to repair a problem that was created by a private individual and alleviating a potential liability of that individual as well, and then having that individual say, yeah, you can fix that problem, but I want something out of it, when it's really an issue that person created and is a liability for him. So if his diversion dam is causing a diversion of the water, which is eroding away private property on the other side, there's actually a liability issue there. It's a public issue because it affects the entire river, but the expenditure of the public funding to fix that problem is something that it happens quite often, but, you know, not something I particularly like to see happen. But I understand the outcome probably outweighs that issue. So.
Well, it's in part why we've tried to keep the design as simple as we can. I'm looking at something that might cost us $20,000 to do. Simply by putting, I'm going to do typical design, which means I'm not doing any engineering. I'm doing it as a removal of an agricultural structure, which I'm hoping the Army Corps of Engineers will say, because I'm not adding anything to the river, I'm not actually taking anything away, that, you know, upon review, I believe I'm improving the situation that's not good. And I put an excavator with a good operator in the river for 5 days or less and move some rock around, and we go from there.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. It's just
understood
the way it works.
No, I appreciate that. The difficulty is that to have the land ownership has changed. Mm-hmm. So now it is a public landowner. The ownership of the structure itself is suspect.
Sure.
It's you know, who owns that structure that's in the river? Well, generally, the consideration is that if something needs to be done to it to improve its ability to divert water, then the guy who gets the water does it. Beyond that,
transfer, it's worth it.
It's pretty straightforward.
You know. But if they haven't been pulling that water right, so what obligation does the owner of that dam have? Can you abandon a rock structure in the river? What is the Army Corps concerns with those kind of things? Does any of that have to be addressed? Can he just walk away and say, hey, you know, that's my point of diversion, but I'm not using that water. Or he hasn't been using that water, has he? So would we get 55 or potential used out water on the ranch until that's transferred? Is he going to give us that opportunity?
No. The water is his, continues to be his. To actually use the point of diversion at the Mexican Dam as an alternative to pumping, he has to put it to beneficial use. Otherwise, he leaves it in the river. I would anticipate that this 55 acres worth of water generally is going to be left in the river because he's not using it to irrigate. But the Alpine Decree suggests that leaving water in the river is a permitted use. So he doesn't lose his water right. His concern is, if I do find a way to put that water to beneficial use, I need a point of diversion to do that, and I don't want you to take the one away that I've got unless I have an alternative. That's effectively what he's asking. He's agreeable to using the Mexican Dam. It's pretty straightforward. It stays in the segment. I'm not changing the point of use as compared to point of diversion. And, you know, it's simple. So I'd like to keep it that way. The actual impact to the river, i.e. water drawn from the river or added to the river, I don't expect to see it change. Because, again, it's not by means of changing the point of diversion doesn't put that ground automatically back into use.
I agree with the premise of the project. The one concern I have, as so often happens, is the expenditures of public funding to repair a problem that was created by a private individual and alleviating a potential liability of that individual as well, and then having that individual say, yeah, you can fix that problem, but I want something out of it, when it's really an issue that person created and is a liability for him. So if his diversion dam is causing a diversion of the water, which is eroding away private property on the other side, there's actually a liability issue there. It's a public issue because it affects the entire river, but the expenditure of the public funding to fix that problem is something that it happens quite often, but, you know, not something I particularly like to see happen. But I understand the outcome probably outweighs that issue. So.
Well, it's in part why we've tried to keep the design as simple as we can. I'm looking at something that might cost us $20,000 to do. Simply by putting, I'm going to do typical design, which means I'm not doing any engineering. I'm doing it as a removal of an agricultural structure, which I'm hoping the Army Corps of Engineers will say, because I'm not adding anything to the river, I'm not actually taking anything away, that, you know, upon review, I believe I'm improving a situation that's not good. And I put an excavator with a good operator in the river for 5 days or less and move some rock around, and we go from there.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. It's just
understood
the way it works.
No, I appreciate that. The difficulty is that to have the land ownership has changed. Mm-hmm. So now it is a public landowner. The ownership of the structure itself is suspect.
Sure.
It's you know, who owns that structure that's in the river? Well, generally, the consideration is that if something needs to be done to it to improve its ability to divert water, then the guy who gets the water does it. Beyond that, no. So,
I think to move on to your, I think the question you're dying to have asked, obviously, is if you have an extra 300 or 400 cubic yards of rock, what do you do with that? And it is potential to create either enhance the fisheries or enhance the boating activities in that area. So, if you have the rock, do you want to create some sort of a structure, either making it accessible for the public to fish from along the edge of the bank and enhance the fisheries, or potentially enhance the boating opportunities in there if you have the extra rock? So.
Yes.
Can it be done this year before the rains hit and the weather hits?
That's going to to get the permission that I'm seeking to do the work, I will need to have the point of diversion changed. If it is an administrative change, then potentially we can do that work late fall. If it becomes more than that, then unknown when it can be done.
So what I'm the game plan that you have right now is to go bank to bank and take all the rock and anything that's left over, put over in the area where it's been going around? Or because apparently you have more rock than you need to repair the right-hand bank.
Yes, we would end up using that excess rock to form fishing spots, fish habitat, or piling it into that area behind it, but taking it out of the riverbed.
How does your landowner feel about creating a fishing spot on that east bank? He might not be objected to the other side, but I know he has a treehouse down there on that east bank.
Yeah, anything that we did relative to improving fishing access or providing some fishing access would only be on the west side. I would talk to the landowner on the east side about whatever it is we're going to do to be sure that he's not objecting wildly to it. But he has not expressed a concern about the fact that that property is publicly owned and there probably will be a trail on it at some time.
So are you guys then looking for a motion then for us to give approval of what you have proposed? I'm only asking this because the packet identifies three alternatives and asks that we approve one of these alternatives. And we haven't really talked about the other two alternatives. So
let's talk about them.
Well, do you want to? I mean, it comes down to how much money you guys have to spend, and some of this other stuff is probably beyond any money that we have available.
Yeah. Right now I don't have quite enough money to actually do the work, but I'm pretty close. Okay. I don't think simply moving the rock from where it is in creating the diversion structure to the bank and losing the excess on the other side, I can fund reasonably easy. The comments that Dan's made about the responsibility of the landowner here, if you will, or the right of rights holder more appropriately, are taken into account by my source of funds. And if in fact we're going to have to make an application to the state engineer and follow it through, I'm not sure that I have a source of funds to do that. My funding sources suggested I bring it back to their board and discuss that, see what their board would like. Because the point that Dan makes about use of public funds is very valid. So it's, if it's an administrative matter, we're covered. If it becomes an application, I'm going to have to go, because that'll be, oh, probably something on the order of $2,500 at least for the application, because you have to do some surveying and everything else. It's not a necessarily easy process to walk through. And particularly if there are the, no. So
I think to move on to your, I think the question you're dying to have asked, obviously, is if you have an extra 300 or 400 cubic yards of rock, what do you do with that? And it is potential to create either enhance the fisheries or enhance the boating activities in that area. So if you have the rock, do you want to create some sort of a structure, either making it accessible for the public to fish from along the edge of the bank and increase enhance the fisheries, or potentially enhance the boating opportunities in there if you have the extra rock?
Yes.
Can it be done this year before the rains hit and the weather hits?
That's going to to get the permission that I'm seeking to do the work, I will need to have the point of diversion changed. If it is an administrative change, then potentially we can do that work late fall. If it becomes more than that, then unknown when it can be done.
So what I'm, the game plan that you have right now is to go bank to bank and take all the rock and anything that's left over, put over in the area where it's been going around? Or if, because apparently you have more rock than you need to repair the right-hand bank.
Yes, we would end up using that excess rock to form fishing spots, fish habitat, or piling it into that area behind it, but taking it out of the riverbed.
How does your landowner feel about creating a fishing spot on that east bank? He might not be objected to the other side, but I know he has a treehouse down there on that east bank.
Yeah, anything that we did relative to improving fishing access or providing some fishing access would only be on the west side. I would talk to the landowner on the east side about whatever it is we're going to do to be sure that he's not objecting wildly to it. But he has not expressed a concern about the fact that that property is publicly owned and there probably will be a trail on it at some time. So.
So are you guys then looking for a motion then for us to give approval of what you have proposed? I'm only asking this because the packet identifies three alternatives and asks that we approve one of these alternatives. And we haven't really talked about the other two alternatives. So
let's talk about
them. Well, do you want to? I mean, it comes down to how much money you guys have to spend, and some of this other stuff is probably beyond any money that we have available.
Yeah. Right now, I don't have quite enough money to actually do the work, but I'm pretty close.
Okay.
I don't think moving the rock, simply moving the rock from where it is in creating the diversion structure to the bank and losing the excess on the other side, I can fund reasonably easy. The comments that Dan's made about the responsibility of the landowner here, if you will, or the right of rights holder more appropriately, are taken into account by my source of funds. And if in fact we're going to have to make an application to the state engineer and follow it through, I'm not sure that I have a source of funds to do that. My funding sources suggested I bring it back to their board and discuss that, see what their board would like, because the point that Dan makes about use of public funds is very valid. So it's, if it's an administrative matter, we're covered. If it becomes an application, I'm going to have to go, because that'll be, oh, probably something on the order of $2,500 at least for the application, because you have to do some surveying and everything else. It's not a necessarily easy process to walk through. And particularly if there are the objections to it, then we have to work through some of those, respond to the objections. So,
well, I think if you can make a tie into the fact that you're correcting, you know, problem, you're improving the safety on the river for the boaters, especially being the Carson River Trail, and that you're going to provide enhancements for both fishing and potentially boating, then the expenditures of the public funds are a little more palatable that way.
We have lots of good arguments. Yes.
Right.
But it's,
what's,
I don't know. What are the other two options you wanted?
Well, there's
the other two alternatives were, one, Dan was able to just, that sounded to me like a motion, by the way. But what he was trying to do is tie in the recreation aspect that we discussed about. And the main problem with the recreation aspect is that it's so flat, that it's so gradient, that there is no energy to do anything too exciting. And then the other alternative was quite a bit more elaborate, and it is, okay, you just go to the center and open a gap that is safe enough, you know, for boats to cross, but then you don't know what happens when the next flood comes and the waters are again diverted to by what you left in place. So I think we're taking lemons and making lemonade.
Well, I think another alternative that's very reasonable to consider is we don't do anything.
Right.
I mean, I certainly have a desire to do something. I'm not suggesting that I'm making that motion, but that it's also very realistic and relates in back to an earlier comment that Dan made. I mean, if the person who has been harmed here the most is the landowner on the east side. That's where all the blowouts occurred. He's lost trees on his parcel. It's taken a fair chunk of ground from his parcel. You know, what was a nice riverbank isn't quite so nice anymore. I'm not real sure how you would value all that. But what I can say is that no one has successfully, in the state of Nevada, gotten a party that was probably liable to pay for water damage. Just hasn't happened. Now, I sat in a three-day seminar about all the things that should be able to happen legally in exactly this sort of situation, and there isn't any court law to support it. So I know that particular owner is not seeking a legal resolution to this. And short of that, the party that perhaps should be sued because he's the one who built the structure isn't going to do anything.
Yeah, the landowner does have an easement for that because he bought the property from Buzzy Anderson originally. And he gave him an easement to put that for that rock structure in his deed. So I'm not sure. He doesn't believe that there's much he can do legally to modify that. But there should be a remedy. You know, the no action. Looking at it at low water, boy, that looks a lot easier to float. You know, every year we roll a couple of rocks down, and I was told in Carson Valley in that muddy place, those rocks just work themselves into the bottom as the flows work hydraulically, and they will just kind of disappear. If we don't think that's going to migrate a whole lot east at once, it's gets further away from that island, the forces on that bank become less. I mean, the no action, we may not have significant erosion downstream in the future. It just looks bad, and it looks scary to people, and people who make mistakes coming into that, they can have problems. But, it may go away. I don't know.
It appears to me you guys have come up with the best solution given the funding
And I would encourage us to pass a motion to that effect.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we go ahead and recommend to the board that we provide support for, one, the removal of the diversion dam, for the moving of the water rights up to the Mexican ditch, and for the enhancement of the fisheries in that.
Objections to it, then we have to work through some of those, respond to the objections. So,
well, I think if you can make a tie into the fact that you're correcting, you know, problem, you're improving the safety on the river for the boaters, especially being the Carson River Trail, and that you're going to provide enhancements for both fishing and potentially boating, then the expenditures of the public funds is a little more palatable that way.
We have lots of good arguments. Yes.
Right.
But I don't know. What are the other two options you wanted?
Well, there
are two alternatives. One, Dan was able to just, that sounded to me like a motion, by the way. But what he was trying to do is tie in the recreation aspect that we discussed about. And the main problem with the recreation aspect is that it's so flat, that it's so gradient, that there is no energy to do anything too exciting. The other alternative was quite a bit more elaborate, and it's okay, you just go to the center and open a gap that is safe enough, you know, for boats to cross, but then you don't know what happens when the next flood comes and the waters are again diverted to by what you left in place. So I think we're taking lemons and making lemonade.
Well, I think another alternative that's very reasonable to consider is we don't do anything.
Right.
I mean, I certainly have a desire to do something. I'm not suggesting that I'm making that motion, but that it's also very realistic and relates in back to an earlier comment that Dan made. I mean, if the person who has been harmed here the most is the landowner on the east side. That's where all the blowouts occurred. He's lost trees on his parcel. It's taken a fair chunk of ground from his parcel. You know, what was a nice riverbank isn't quite so nice anymore. I'm not real sure how you would value all that. But what I can say is that no one has successfully, in the state of Nevada, gotten a party that was probably liable to pay for water damage. Just hasn't happened. Now, I sat in a 3-day seminar about all the things that should be able to happen legally in exactly this sort of situation, and there isn't any court law to support it. So I know that particular owner is not seeking a legal resolution to this. And short of that, the party that perhaps should be sued because he's the one who built the structure isn't going to do anything.
Yeah, the landowner does have an easement for that because he bought the property from Buzzy Anderson originally, and he gave him an easement to put that for that rock structure in his deed. So I'm not sure. He doesn't believe that there's much he can do legally to modify that, but there should be a remedy. You know, the no action, looking at it at low water, boy, that looks a lot easier to float. You know, every year we roll a couple of rocks down, and I was told in Carson Valley, in that muddy place, those rocks just work themselves into the bottom as the flows work hydraulically, and they will just kind of disappear. If we don't think that's going to migrate a whole lot east at once it's, gets further away from that island, the forces on that bank become less. I mean, the no action, we may not have significant erosion downstream in the future. It just looks bad, and it looks scary to people, and people who make mistakes coming into that, they can have problems. But, it may go away. I don't know.
It appears to me you guys have come up with the best solution given the funding I would encourage us to pass a motion to that effect.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we go ahead and recommend to the board that we provide support for, one, the removal of the diversion dam, for the moving of the water rights up to the Mexican ditch, and for the enhancement of the fisheries in that area with any remaining rock that are available.
Any second?
I'll second that.
Okay, we got a second. Any discussion from the public? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Go move some rock.
We'll continue the effort. Thank you.
Well, thanks for making that happen. Yeah, it really jumps out at you when you go by there when the flows are about one CFS through there. Thanks, Lynn, for coming. So we're on to non-action items. We've got 4A, discussion only regarding assistance to Kiwanis Club on the river cleanup activity held on Saturday. Dan and Juan are on the agenda for that.
Dan, do you want to go first?
Sure. Okay. I believe I talked to Lisa Ross today, and we had 130 volunteers sign up for this year, I believe. Obviously, you know, it was the Key Club, the Junior ROTC Club, and then we had some Boy Scouts and then some individual volunteers that showed up as the Carson River Advisory Committee group. What we were doing was the wrapping of trees over along the Ambrose natural area along the river. So we took 13 people, and I'm not sure, Juan, were you counting yourself in that group?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, 13 people that showed up to help wrap the trees, which was great because we were able to pretty much finish that area off. I know Paul's been working in there. We were able to take some of the trees that had been wrapped several years ago that were getting very tight with the chicken wire. So we freed those up and put some new wire around those, so that gave them a little more breathing room. And then we pulled out good truckload size of garbage in the area as well. So I think that worked out really well. And then the rest of the group that was cleaning up downriver, I think one group went over to Silver Saddle Ranch, cleaned up, and we had two of the large, 20-yard dumpsters out there. One was pretty full, and the other was probably half full. So I think it's showing sign that the annual presence of doing the cleanup is really helping reduce the amount of garbage, but we're still getting some out there. But the volunteer group was great, beautiful day, and we all had a great barbecue provided by the Kiwanis. So.
I would like to add that one of the things that I think we can do next time that will be better is to distribute the dumpsters just closely to the area that we're clean. In the past, I've managed successfully to get waste management to drive a dumpster to the former Serpa property, to the area that was being cleaned up, and they pick it up. They put it in and they pick it up again. So I think we can do that in the future. And then the other thing too, I consulted with my colleagues, and based on the type of things they have done in the past, I felt that it was important to stay up at the top in case somebody else came. We can give them tools or direct them to the work area. But I too have been down there wrapping trees too, instead of staying at the top collecting cigarette butts, which is what I did pretty much, and large pieces of trash. So that's another area of improvement for next time. Thank you very much. It was a good activity.
We had some great workers, too. I thought it just really didn't have people goofing off. And, I mean, it's okay, but it's nice to see people that are serious about their volunteering efforts and putting in some good work. And
yeah, I think
got a lot done.
I think we're estimating between 50 and 60 trees. Right. Wrapped in there. So, and then we also removed some of the old wire off the ones that had died, which I think is good because that reduces the trashed look of the area. So getting rid of that really made a difference.
Your recreation planner came back with some fence posts and some old tires.
There's a lot of barbed wire came from somewhere, so a big roll of it. So.
Big work. We ended up with a wire that was super wide, super long. So that was great. Thank you, Paul. That was exactly, made the job much easier.
Yeah, it was the 4 foot high rolls. That worked great.
Yeah.
Those beaver are getting taller.
I was explaining to Randy earlier, the 4 foot high was a mistake.
Great mistake.
I normally order 3 foot high because I'm normally working with fourth graders. So for the fourth graders, I'll get some 3 foot high, but I'm glad we had the 4 foot high.
Area with any remaining rock that are available.
Any second?
I'll second that.
Okay, we got a second. Any discussion from the public? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Go move some rock.
Yeah, get stone.
We'll continue the effort. Thank you.
Yeah, no. Well, thanks for making that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really jumps out at you when you go by there when the flows are about one CFS through there. Thanks, Lynn, for coming. So we're on to non-action items. We've got 4A, discussion only regarding Assistance to Kiwanis Club on the river cleanup activity held on Saturday. Dan and Juan are on the agenda for that.
Dan, do you want to go first?
Sure. Okay. I believe I talked to Lisa Ross today, and we had 130 volunteers signed up for this year, I believe. Obviously, you know, it was the Key Club, the Junior ROTC Club, and then we had some Boy Scouts and then some individual volunteers that showed up. As the Carson River Advisory Committee group, what we were doing was the wrapping of trees over along the Ambrose Natural Area along the river. So we took 13 people, and I'm not sure, Juan, were you counting yourself in that group?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, 13 people that showed up to help wrap the trees, which was great because we were able to pretty much finish that area off. I know Paul's been working in there. We were able to take some of the trees that had been wrapped several years ago that were getting very tight with the chicken wire. So we freed those up and put some new wire around those, so that gave them a little more breathing room. And then we pulled out good truckload size of garbage in the area as well. So I think that worked out really well. And then the rest of the group that was cleaning up downriver, and I think one group went over to Silver Saddle Ranch, cleaned up, and we had two of the large, I think 20-yard dumpsters out there. One was pretty full, and the other was probably half full. So I think it's showing sign that the annual presence of doing the cleanup is really helping reduce the amount of garbage, but we're still getting some out there. But the volunteer group was great, beautiful day, and we all had a great barbecue provided by the Kiwanis. So.
I would like to add that one of the things that I think we can do next time that will be better is to distribute the dumpsters just closely to the area that were clean. In the past, I managed successfully to get waste management to drive a dumpster to the former Serpa property, to the area that was being cleaned up, and they pick it up. They put it in and they pick it up again. So I think we can do that in the future. And then the other thing too, I consulted with my colleagues, and based on the type of things they have done in the past, I felt that it was important to stay up at the top in case somebody else came. We can give them tools or direct them to the work area. But I too have been down there wrapping trees too instead of staying at the top collecting cigarette butts, which is what I did pretty much, and large pieces of trash. So that's another area of improvement for next time. Thank you very much. It was a great activity.
We had some great workers, too. I thought it just really didn't have people goofing off. And, I mean, it's okay, but it's nice to see people that are serious about their volunteering efforts and putting in some good work. And
yeah, I think we
got a lot done.
I think we're estimating between 50 and 60 trees.
Right.
Wrapped in there, so, and then we also removed some of the old wire off the ones that had died, which I think is good because that reduces the trashed look of the area. So,
yeah,
getting rid of that really made a difference.
Your recreation planner came back with some fence posts and some old tires.
There's a lot of barbed wire came from somewhere. Yeah. So a big roll of it. So,
big work. We end up with wire that was the super wide, super long. So that was great. Thank you, Paul. That was exactly, made the job much easier.
Yeah, it was the 4-foot high rolls. That worked great.
Yeah.
Those beaver are getting taller.
I was explaining to Randy earlier, the 4-foot high was a mistake.
Great mistake.
I normally order 3-foot high because I'm normally working with fourth graders. So for the fourth graders, I'll get some 3-foot high, but I'm glad we had the 4-foot high.
Yeah, you could see several of the trees where the beaver on the 3-foot were just able to get up there and were gnawing just above the wire. So I think that 4-foot wire will really help that. So as long as the high flow doesn't catch it and tear it down. So
it's going to catch everything. If it catches the 4-foot, it's already caught the 2-foot. So.
Well, one more comment. At the beginning of the activity, Chris McAleer was really effective, I felt, in explaining to the public what we were doing, what were the goals, and also Amari Struy, who came back from retirement to help us. And just explain the relationships of BLM and Carson City and the Lands Bill and all of that. So, and Dan took about the other Dan, great take, took about upon himself too to explain a little bit of ecology and why we were doing the way we were doing it and explain a little bit of the fever. So it was pretty good. It was a really good activity. Everybody left sweating and with a smile.
Got new T-shirts.
Yeah.
And in fact, Juan was all set. He had the trailer unhooked. He wanted to just come back after the barbecue and work till 5.
Yeah. There you go.
There were no takers. Imagine that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thanks to Juan and Dan and others that helped make it happen. I just had to show up.
Yeah. You worked really hard.
That's good. That's okay. Any citizen comments? Seeing none. Item 4B, discussion only on a board action request for the city to support and sponsor efforts of the V&T Road Reconstruction Commission, I guess a grant from Federal Transportation.
Yeah, the Federal Highway Administration has a grant called the Sarbanes grant. And they are earmarked specifically to enhance transportation corridors. And the V&T is taking a long shot and taking an opportunity to apply for the grant. Normally, the grant is awarded to cities, counties, and government. So the board have asked us to partner with them. It's for $3 million, and it will be used specifically to extend track from the north end of Bentley to the former Serpa, do the balloon, and go back into the track. And I think it's a long shot, but we'll go through the process. And my boss says, well, if this is for discussion only, why is it on the agenda? So you guys will be informed that this is happening. Hate for you to read it in the paper and say, how come we don't know about this?
Oh, I was hoping it was the V&T going to add some trails, you know, or make the right-of-way wide enough to accommodate some other access up there, but it's just for rails?
It is.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Dan. My concern is by going down the roadway, the existing roadway, is you then eliminate a lot of access. And I know you were discussing doing your open space plan and trails, you know, for the newly acquired lands. And the question is, I can see one of the benefits of eliminating vehicle traffic into the canyon, which would really reduce a lot of the problems that are happening in the canyon. But then the opportunities for either a hiking trail or a biking trail all the way through to Dayton, I think, is really nice. So whether this is going to eliminate that or hinder it or something, like that would be one thing I'd definitely be concerned about.
Yeah, it's just that we're about 5 years late on that fight, you know, because the environmental documentation and the main decisions were made. So the posture that we have taken at the open space level and master plan level is that we will go ahead and create trails to the ability we can. And then in the case of the former Bentley property, there's continues to be access from Lyon County. It's not legal access because it's through other properties, and or it may be legal access because there were so many historic roads. It's just that nobody has taken the time to really figure that aspect of it and take it to court or take it to the Board of County Commissioners and demonstrate it. And then from our area, we believe that we can provide motorized access.
Yeah, you can see several of the trees where the beaver on the 3 foot were just able to get up there and were gnawing just above the wire. So I think that 4 foot wire will really help that. So as long as the high flow doesn't catch it and tear it down, so.
It's going to catch everything. If it catches the 4 foot, it's already caught the 2 foot, so.
Well, one more comment. At the beginning of the activity, Chris McAleer was really effective, I felt, in explaining to the public what we were doing, what were the goals, and also Amari Struy, who came back from retirement to help us. And just explain the relationships of BLM and Carson City and the Lands Bill and all of that. So, and Dan took about the other Dan, great take, took about upon himself too to explain a little bit of ecology and why we were doing the way we were doing it and explain a little bit of the river. So it was pretty good. It was a really good activity. Everybody left sweating and with a smile.
Got new T-shirts.
Yeah. And in fact, Juan was all set. He had the trailer unhooked. He wanted to just come back after the barbecue and work till 5.
Yeah. There you go.
There were no takers. On that. You do that. Imagine that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well,
thanks to Juan and Dan and others that helped make it happen. I just had to show up.
Yeah. You worked really hard.
That's good. That's okay. Any citizen comments? Seeing none. Item 4B, discussion only on a board action request for the city to support and sponsor efforts of the V&T Road Reconstruction Commission, I guess a grant from Federal Transportation.
Yeah, the Federal Highway Administration has a grant called the Sarbanes Grant. And they are earmarked specifically to enhance transportation corridors. And the V&T is taking a long shot and taking an opportunity to apply for the grant. Normally, the grant is awarded to cities, counties, and government. So the board have asked us to partner with them. It's for $3 million, and it will be used specifically to extend track from the north end of Bentley to the former Serpa, do the balloon and go back into the track. And I think it's a long shot, but we'll go through the process. And my boss says, well, if this is for discussion only, why is it on the agenda? So you guys will be informed that this is happening. Hate for you to read it in the paper and say, how come we don't know about this?
Oh, I was hoping it was the V&T going to add some trails, you know, or make the right-of-way wide enough to accommodate some other access up there, but it's just for rails?
It is.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Dan. My concern is by going down the roadway, the existing roadway, is you then eliminate a lot of access. And I know you were discussing doing your open space plan and trails, you know, for the newly acquired lands. And the question is, I can see one of the benefits of eliminating vehicle traffic into the canyon, which would really reduce a lot of the problems that are happening in the canyon. But then the opportunities for either a hiking trail or a biking trail all the way through to Dayton, I think, is really nice. So whether this is going to eliminate that or hinder it or something, like that would be one thing I'd definitely be concerned about.
Yeah, it's just that we're about 5 years late on that fight, you know, because the environmental documentation and the main decisions were made. So the posture that we have taken at the open space level and master plan level is that we will go ahead and create trails to the ability we can. And then in the case of the former Bentley property, there's continues to be access from Lyon County. It's not legal access because it's through other properties, and or it may be legal access because there were so many historic roads. It's just that nobody have taken the time to really figure that aspect of it and take it to court or take it to the Board of County Commissioners and demonstrate it. And then from our area, we believe that we can provide motorized access, and it doesn't necessarily have to be public. It may be administrative access into great portions of the Serpa property from the shooting facility, from the range on top. And as you know, there will be motorized access to the abutment of, well, to the bridge, what is left of it. And at least those are the main components of motorized access versus non-motorized access along the river.
Maybe we can get V&T to purchase a couple of hand carts, and they can rent those for the days that the rail or the train's not running, yeah, and still provide access for the public.
Well, thank you for your comments, though.
Anything else? No comments from the public. Seeing none. 4C, reports only. So status reports, announcements from staff.
We'll come back again next in November with the plan, and there is a chance that we may be able to, there is a good chance that we may be able to discuss also the management plan for that Carson City is supposed to prepare as part of the land transfers with BLM. And probably this group will be towards the beginning, and then we'll move on to open space and to the Board of Supervisors. We'll see how the schedule is, but the boss have me a very short leash working on those. Any questions, any about that? Other than that, there's materials from the paper on the that I thought would be interesting to the committee, including the announcement of the cleanup exercise, and then pictures contrasting the dryness of the river of this season, which is very interesting.
Yeah, if you go down to Deer Run Road, nothing's down there, no water.
No, other than many multiple motorized tracks along the riverbed.
It seems like I've seen this about every 10 years, though.
Yeah.
Just to provide an update, too, I think it's really unfortunate. Downstream of, or upstream, I guess I'd say, of the Deer Run Bridge, where the Eagle Scout had covered up that one ramp with the willows and stuff, the ATVs have just totally torn that up. But there was some good root establishment in there, so I'm hoping that when the water comes up, maybe we'll get some sprouts coming up through there, and that'll help block that. And if it gets thick enough, it'll prevent that. But even the photo talks about that being the boat ramp, and I think that's close to where that photo was taken, showing the water and no water in the bridge. So, but it's unfortunate, but hopefully it'll fill in when the water comes back.
Any other announcements from the members? You're done with the staff announcements?
I have one more announcement, and Dan just reminded me of it, and that is that we have a new volunteer whose name is Paul Ethelwine. Paul used to work for the state parks, and he was a ranger, and he has agreed to help us in the capacity. We call it ambassador. We don't call it ranger, but he will have the truck with lights and be able to do patrols on the days that our ranger is off, or some of the days that our ranger is off. So we'll be able to have more coverage and more presence along the river.
Good. Is that it, Juan?
That's it.
Okay. Any announcements from the members?
Yes.
Go for it.
I do have an announcement. This Thursday evening, being the 20th, the Clear Creek Watershed Council is hosting a barbecue. Well, they provide the barbecue. You provide what gets cooked. It's a potluck. It's being held, though, at the one of the very nice –
Well, they were built for the golfing community at Clear Creek Tahoe Golf Course, which is the golf course that's at the upper end of Clear Creek in the new development. One of the developers of that is effectively hosting us and would be present to talk about what's going on relative to that development. But it's a opportunity for particularly the stakeholders and the Watershed Council to get together. It's an annual potluck. And
it doesn't necessarily have to be public. It may be administrative access into great portions of the Serpa property from the shooting facility, from the range on top. And as you know, there will be motorized access to the abutment of, well, to the bridge, what is left of it. And at least those are the main components of motorized access versus non-motorized access along the river.
Maybe we can get V&T to purchase a couple of hand carts and they can rent those for the days that the rail or the train's not running. Yeah. And still provide access for the public.
Well, thank you for your comments, though.
Anything else? No comments from the public, seeing none. 4C, reports only. So status reports, announcements from staff.
We'll come back again next in November with the plan, and there's a chance that we may be able to, there's a good chance that we may be able to discuss also the management plan for that Carson City is supposed to prepare as part of the lands transfers with BLM. And probably this group will be towards the beginning, and then we'll move on to open space and to the board of supervisors. We'll see how the schedule is, but the boss have me a very short leash working on those. Any questions, any about that? Other than that, there's materials from the paper on the that I thought would be interesting to the committee, including the announcement of the cleanup exercise, and then pictures contrasting the dryness of the river of this season, which is very interesting.
Yeah, if you go down the Deer Run Road, nothing's down there, no water.
No, other than many multiple motorized tracks along the riverbed.
It seems like I've seen this about every 10 years, though.
Yeah.
Just to provide an update, too, I think it's really unfortunate. Downstream of, or upstream, I guess I'd say, of the Deer Run Bridge, where the Eagle Scout had covered up that one ramp with the willows and stuff, the ATVs have just totally torn that up. But there was some good root establishment in there, so I'm hoping that when the water comes up, maybe we'll get some sprouts coming up through there, and that'll help block that. And if it gets thick enough, that'll prevent that. But even the photo talks about that being the boat ramp, and I think that's close to where that photo was taken, showing the water and no water in the bridge. So, but it's unfortunate, but hopefully it'll fill in when the water comes back.
Any other announcements from the members? You're done with the staff announcements?
I have one more announcement, and Dan just reminded me of it, and that is that we have a new volunteer whose name is Paul Ethelwine. Paul used to work for the state parks, and he was a ranger, and he has agreed to help us in the capacity. We call it ambassador. We don't call it ranger, but he will have the truck with lights and be able to do patrols on the days that our ranger is off, or some of the days that our ranger is off, so we'll be able to have more coverage and more presence along the river.
Good. Is that it, Juan?
That's it.
Okay, any announcements from the members?
Yes.
Go for it.
I do have an announcement. This Thursday evening, being the 20th, the Clear Creek Watershed Council is hosting a barbecue. Well, they provide the barbecue, you provide what gets cooked. It's a potluck. It's being held, though, at the one of the very nice Well, they were built for the golfing community at Clear Creek Tahoe Golf Course, which is the golf course that's at the upper end of Clear Creek in the new development. One of the developers of that is effectively hosting us and would be present to talk about what's going on relative to that development. But it's a opportunity for particularly the stakeholders and the Watershed Council to get together. It's an annual potluck, and we're inviting lots of folks. So if you'd like to know what the Clear Creek Watershed Council is doing and want to bring a dish of some kind and participate, that would be great. So again, that's 6 to 8. At Clear Creek Tahoe, there'll be signs once you enter the gate for that development if you want to join us. So.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Future agenda items. Anything we need to discuss here? It looks like we'll maybe we'll have some comments on the resource management plan.
That's for sure.
And then comments on the management plan. Okay, move on to citizen comments. Members of the public who wish to address the Carson River Advisory Committee may come forward to speak on any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item and allowable under the open meeting law. Comments may be limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion or action, please request the chairperson to schedule the matter for a future meeting. Seeing none, I'll look for a motion to adjourn. Not everybody at once.
I move we adjourn this meeting.
Second.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.